Hey, Danily, this is Jesse Davenport. Did you get the is that email going to work for you okay? The stuff I got you? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just talking at you and I don't have you unmuted. I'm sorry.
Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, I did get everything from you guys. I haven't looked at any of the historical records yet, but I have what I need in order to take minutes for tonight. So
Okay,
thanks for
perfect.
everybody. I'm Danielle with Centennial Consulting Group. So you'll have sort of various staff members working with you, but I'm going to take care of tonight's meeting. So
Okay. Thank you, Danley. I don't know if oh, Greg's just joining now. So if you have any issues during the meeting, sometimes I it can we've got lots of members of the public talking or anything like that. Probably easy to just email me, but I'll just email you my mobile number too here real quick, so you can just text me if there's a problem or something like that. We just there can be a lot of stuff going on sometimes, and I don't want to leave you hanging if there's if you're having a technical issue or something.
I wonder if it's possible for me to get like chat privileges or something.
Yeah, I think Sam just set you as a co-host right now, so you have permission to unmute
Okay, great.
yourself. And we just it's probably easiest if you have an issue under the reactions, just use your raise hand function, and I'll see that really quickly in the participants. I'm always keeping an eye out for that. So, all
Sounds good.
right, thank you.
Hello. Good evening, everyone. This is a notice of a special meeting for the Green Mountain Water and Sanitation District. Notice is hereby given. This is for the May 25th, 2021 meeting. Notice is hereby given that the Board of Directors of the Green Mountain Water and Sanitation District of the County of Jefferson, State of Colorado, will hold a special meeting at 6 p.m. Tuesday, May 25th, 2021, at 13919 West Utah Avenue, Lakewood, Colorado 80228. This meeting will be held for the purpose of conducting such business as may come before the board. So there we go. The meeting is open to the public. This is a virtual meeting. Jefferson County Public Health COVID Enforcement Division has provided direction for public indoor meetings since counties were allowed to enforce their own COVID dials. In effect, as of April 16th, 2021, on May 15th, 2021, Jeffco moved to level clear. Jefferson County Public Health continues to recommend mask wearing for in meetings indoors unless individuals provide proof of COVID vaccination. Therefore, the district will offer the means of participating in this meeting by video conference call. To attend, please go to https://zoom.us/j9939036321 or call 669-900-6833 and enter the meeting ID, which would be 993-9036 3271. To troubleshoot issues with connection at the time of the meeting, please follow this link, https://support.zoom.us/hc/en-us/sections/2030355-93-troubleshooting. If you still experience issues, email customer service at greenmountainwater.org and our IT staff will assist you as soon as possible. The district does not discriminate on the basis of age, race, national origin, color, creed, religion, sex, sexual orientation, or disability in the provision of services. People with disabilities needing reasonable accommodations to attend or participate in a district board meeting can call 303-985-1581 or email customer service at greenmountainwater.org for assistance. Please give notice as far in advance as possible so we can accommodate your request. By the June 8th meeting, it is very possible for us to go into hybrid meetings. that will take place, and no masks are required, I think, at that point, and so that we have the option of meeting in person. So I'm going to read the agenda. Number one, I would like to call to order and declare a quorum. Adrian Hannigan present.
Jeff Baker present.
Alex Plotkin present.
Karen Morgan present.
Rhonda Peters present.
So I declare that we have a quorum. Number two are director's matters, disclosure matters. Does anyone have anything to disclose? Nothing to disclose? All right. So I'm going to move on to item number three, is approval of additions to or deletions from the agenda. Nothing?
I had something, and I don't know. I guess I'll run it by other folks. I got it to Greg too late, but I wanted to discuss the Ravine Sewer since the litigation is winding down, and that mm-hmm. was something else. So I guess if other directors are opposed to that, then we can do it at our next meeting. So I wanted to put that out there.
Okay, it's not on the agenda, so I don't know if there's any updates and things like that, that would be interesting, but I think, I don't know.
I would be like a 10-minute topic, 5 minutes. It would, I just to keep it on everybody's radar, that we should, just an update of where we're at and what our next steps are and what our plans are. I just don't want to let that slip off, especially now that the litigation is winding down.
Rhonda, it's Joe. It looks like it didn't make it onto the agenda. So I think it's something that we need to get onto. I mean, I think we have another meeting in, is it a week or 2 weeks or something?
It's very close. So I think we can do it then.
I think the appropriate thing to do would be, since it's only 2 weeks away, to put it on that agenda, since you know what you want. I don't know that we should be discussing it, given that it wasn't on the agenda at all for tonight.
Yeah, it has to be on the agenda. So, but I appreciate that. So what I would like to do is...
So this will be noticed, though, to put it on the next agenda.
Yes, for sure. On other matters, let's have that down there. I'll record that. Is the discussion of Ravine Bridge. Okay. And then that will go on to the very next meeting in 2 weeks. Okay. In 2 weeks. Okay. That sounds wonderful. Is that acceptable to you, Ms. Peters?
Sure. That's fine.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Now for item number four, which is public comment. There was something that was passed by the board of directors on May 11th, and it says members of the board wishing to address the board during the public comment period are asked to keep their comments civil and related to the items in the agenda or to the conduct of the district business. Members of the public wishing to address the board will then be recognized by the board to maintain proper decorum. Since the Green Mountain Water Board and Sanitation District values your input, we always offer additional opportunities for the public to provide comments by using the district's email system or by phoning into customer service in the event they do not get on during the meeting during the period set aside for public comment. I think that all of us made in our oaths of office, made a promise to adhere to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Colorado. And, you know, I think that this public comment that was passed violates the First Amendment of the United States and the state constitution. That's the only comment I have. You know, I very much hope that people are respectful and kind when they address the board and when they talk about their concerns. Unfortunately, it's like in the city of Lakewood, they've had people there that say horrible things, you know, like do, you know, blank the police and things like that, which I don't even know what to say. Usually I don't know what to say when stuff like that happens. But hopefully we will, we can just hope people behave nicely, but there's no guarantee. But I would like to open it to public comment. Do I have the raised hand function? Would anyone like to talk? Oh, is there anyone who would like to talk? Can people raise their hands? Okay.
Also, Adrian, yes? Remember to mention for any callers on the phone, the raise hand function on the phone is *9.
*9. Oh, thank you, because I always forget that. Okay. So would you like to do the honors, Mr. Davenport?
Sure. I can handle that for you.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Dave, you are unmuted. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to let everybody else go first. In case there's a lot of politicking going on, I'll let you guys get that out of the way. And then I would
Dave, would you mind stating your first and last name for the minutes?
Oh, I'm sorry. Dave Wickman.
Okay, thank you so much.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Alex, I didn't want to get into politicking. I had some logistical questions, but now that I'm on, I guess I'll just say two things. I noticed there's some discussion about this litigation counselor or whatever. And I know there's been some confusion as to whether that would mean we've got two counsels, et cetera, et cetera. And I've heard some people say no, some people say yes. And, you know, I'm not going to get in there. But a suggestion might be, if we're concerned about asking questions to help move the meetings along, perhaps a compromise might be to get like a parliamentarian. That doesn't necessarily have to be a lawyer, in which case you could save a little money if it's not a lawyer. But if you get somebody that knows how to run meetings and stuff like that, you could ask that person those sort of questions. And maybe that would deal with the issues at hand, while at the same time making it clear that no one's trying to undercut our real counsel, you know, Joe. So anyway, that's just a suggestion. But anyway, the reason I called is I have a question. I've noticed that construction has started at 66 South Van Gordon. And as I recall, the plan was for 363 apartments, et cetera, et cetera. So they're going to need water taps and sewer taps. So my question, my administrative question, is how many taps have they bought so far and how much money have we received? And that's my question. If you can answer it, fine. If not, I'll just put a bug in your ear and maybe somebody can get back to me later. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay, next.
Okay. Linnea, you're unmuted. Go ahead. And can you state your name for the minutes as well? Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Linnea Hauser. I want to state that I support the directors. The petition to recall directors Plotkin, Baker, and Morgan is a huge mistake, which will be costly to the district in terms of dollars, interruption of important work, morale, and public perception. It was initiated by a very small number of people, I believe just four, who are friends of Director Hannigan. The stated reasons are so misleading, inaccurate, and general that they deserve to be ignored. Boiling down the frivolous words, the primary accusation by the petitioners seems to be that the current board is dysfunctional and not doing its job. Of course, they have not been able to work effectively. The very same people who initiated the recall have taken up valuable meeting time for several months, heckling and threatening these directors without justification. The meetings have been conducted without decorum, order, or clear procedures. This was certainly not the intention of the Open Meetings Act. I applaud the directors for enduring the attacks and acting responsibly, for doing what they were elected to do, protect the interests of the district. I am grateful that they did not cave in to the strong calls to settle the lawsuit before the judge ruled in their favor. The desired outcome of the recall is obviously to enable developer control of the district if new members are appointed. But why? The director's job is to act in the best interest of the district and its residents, period. Not to make decisions about which developers should get sewer service. And in that vein, I also ask that Director Hannigan step down as DEO of the recall. This is a blatant conflict of interest. I ask the recall committee to stop their efforts and to instead start working with the directors in making the important decisions about capacity and finances before determining if extending different district boundaries is truly in its best interest. The last recall cost the district around $40,000, excluding legal fees. It likely would have been double that, perhaps $80,000, if more people who dropped off their ballot had requested mail-in ballots. And given the strong interest in this issue throughout this community, the cost would likely go even higher if this recall continues. I ask the recall committee to stop their efforts and start working with directors and making important decisions about capacity and finances before determining if extending district boundaries is in the best interest of the many stakeholders of the district. Thank you.
I would like to make a point. Linnea Hauser is a Solterra resident. She is not a stakeholder of Green Mountain. Thank you very much for your contribution.
I'm a stakeholder because I live in the area which is served by this district. I very much disagree with you.
We're done. Thank you. I would like to move on with public comment. Thank you. Okay, who is next?
That's a caller. 303-570 is the
yes, thank
first.
You.
I'm prompting to unmute.
Thank you. Star 9. Yeah.
I prompted an unmute to you, caller.
Okay. Thank you. All
you
right.
You look like you're unmuted now. You should be able to speak.
Okay.
Hi, it's Deborah.
Thank
you. Deborah Romero. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well. Thank you.
Deborah Romero.
Yes, for the note-taking person. I guess I stayed through the whole six-hour meeting last time, and toward the end there, I was under the impression that this meeting tonight was not going to happen until the whole board had their mediation, whatever you want to call it, session to start working together better as a board. And so I was very surprised to see this on the that this was going ahead. I'm very big on transparency and being upfront and not trying to maneuver behind the scenes and do things in the background. And I just noticed that this time the agenda did not come out 72 hours in advance. And that felt a little dishonest to me, that this would be so late. Maybe, I don't know, technically that's allowed, but it doesn't feel good. I don't feel respected as a constituent when that's done. I'm not happy about what's happening tonight. I don't feel that it's respectful to our award-winning, lawsuit-winning attorney, Joe Timmons, to bring on someone else. And I read the RFP, and it seems like it was probably the same RFP that might have even been used before we hired Joe, with maybe some tweaks to it. But it doesn't seem like it's an RFP for just bringing on a very narrow focused person to supplement Joe. It looks like the same job that she does. So I just have questions. It feels like stuff is being manipulated in the background. And as a constituent, I don't like that. So I really hope that's not what evolves later on. But if Joe wants help, I would like it to come from Joe and not from the board. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Romero. Is there anyone else who would like to speak?
It looks like Kathy Odenweller. Kathy, you're unmuted. Can you state your name for the minutes, please?
Yes, hi. My name is Kathy Odenweller. And I am very confused. Who's taking the minutes tonight?
Kathy, my name is Danielle. I'm with Centennial Consulting Group. And at the last board meeting, the board hired our company to be a clerk just to complete minutes for your board meetings. And so I'm in attendance tonight to just be a scribe, essentially. And we will be working with the district manager and the IT people to obtain all the documents and get the minutes drafted for the last 8 minutes preceding this one.
Oh, and how much is that costing?
We charge the board $135 an hour, which is our standard hourly rate.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate you informing us.
You're welcome.
My next question is, who is Rhonda the treasurer now? Yes, no? Because I am not aware of any change like that, because we did not get a treasurer's report at the last meeting, at your official board meeting once again. And I know Rhonda was dealing with the budget. So I'm very confused. And then I saw on the agenda that you have the mediation thing. You know, you're still putting that off, or you're still planning on doing that. I'd like to know who's paying for that. Are you guys paying for that out of your own pockets? I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Okay, that's that. There is Jesse, could you unmute the next person?
Can I respond to that?
I think this is public comment, so we can't. So if you could go, I'd love to do that if we had a question and answer public comment, but we don't anymore. So
objection. You were just making comments on Linnea's comments earlier. That's going against, obviously, self-set policy.
Nope. I think what we need to do is go ahead with public comment from the next person, please. Thank you.
Okay. Brenda, you're unmuted. Can you state your name for the minutes, please?
Yes, my name is Brenda Bronson. Could you hear me? I couldn't log on. I tried and tried using the link on your in your minutes, and I finally had somebody send me a link that worked. It didn't work, and I didn't get answers from my emails to customer service and all that. Anyway,
yeah, I'm sorry, Brenda. Yeah,
did you change that your agenda? About the one in the agenda and the one on your little button on your website that says "press here to join the Zoom call"? Those didn't work.
It should be identical. Nothing should have changed there. So I don't know what might have gone
neither
wrong,
one but... worked. Those were the two I knew to try. Any rate, that's no big deal. I'd like to make my public comment. That was just why I couldn't get here to do it. Any rate, I'm Brenda Bronson. My comment is about your agenda item regarding the discussion. We won't get a chance, I think, to give, discussion about the agenda items, correct now? Is that correct? So this is about the discussion about the election official for the recall. Please know our recall committee quickly gathered today, and today we turned in many more signatures than we needed for the required number to begin the recall of Alex Plotkin, Jeffrey Baker, and Karen Morgan. The election official now has five days to certify those signatures from voters in the district. Regardless of what you plan to discuss regarding the election official, these signatures better be certified within 5 days as required for this election. I read somewhere a very fanciful account that our little recall committee somehow influenced a Jefferson County judge into appointing the president of the Green Mountain Water Board as the election official. It's laughable to me. Anyone in the right mind would believe a Jefferson County judge could even be corrupted, but especially by any four of us. I personally am a retired federal employee, None of the four of us are attorneys, nor are we experts in courts or how they work. None of us are rich or powerful. I can't even imagine how one would go about corrupting a judge to do our bidding. Also, I don't know or care who the, I don't care who the judge appointed as the election official. That's not important to me. Any rate, the other thing is other lies that have been told about us on the recall committee is that developers are behind the recall. I'm one of the four citizens, and I know the other three citizens that developed, that initiated the recall process, and I am not a developer. None of us are. And I don't even know one. The directors under the recall, but the reason that we're doing the recall is that the directors under recall don't really want their jobs. They want their positions and the power that comes with them. The secretary, Alex Plotkin, refuses to be accountable for producing minutes. The last minutes until I wrote last week, the last minutes posted were from were November 10th, 2020. And since then, and the reason they're not posting them is that the board directors won't go in and sign the petitions, and they're expecting this sign thing, and they don't know how to use DocuSign, or I don't know, but it's crazy. There's been 15 minutes since November 10th, 2020, and I think recently they published a couple of meeting minutes for December, but that was at my request, just trying to find out how long the meetings were. The secretary, Alex Plotkin, he wants the job. He doesn't want the job of secretary. He just wants the position. The treasurer, Karen Morgan, has not presented one financial report, and the district continues to operate at a deficit. Yet she wants us to pay for a pedestrian bridge that has nothing to do with the safe provision of water or sewer service to the district. She doesn't want this job as treasurer. She just wants the position. The vice president, Jeff Baker, does not work to support the president. When he does operate on behalf of the president, he takes needless personal jabs and snipes at her. He provides no leadership or support. He enables the bad behaviors of Plotkin and Morgan. He does not want the job. He wants the position. The false narrative of developers is simply a distraction peddled by the people who do not live in the district. Some of them are out-of-state agitators. Many of them live at Solterra. Please don't believe this lie. Believe what you want from out-of-state agitators, but don't mess with our public election. Let the district customers and the voters decide what's best for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Next, is there someone else who would like to speak?
Mike.
Did he Mike, disappear?
It looks like Mike just lowered his hand.
Okay.
Let me unmute him just in case, and just okay. Ask and make sure that he didn't want to speak here.
Okay.
Okay. I see it. Mike, you're unmuted. Go ahead and can you state your name for the minutes, please?
It's Mike Muller, and I do live in the district. There's some misinformation here that that you guys are getting recalled because we're being paid off by the developers. If anybody knows me, they know I don't want development in the city. I hate development in the city. I do not want any more apartments. I think it's a strain on our whole infrastructure. Everybody knows that. There's no doubt in anybody's mind where I stand on development. I do believe that if there is, that those properties are going to build. And we do need to, and it's their right to build on those properties, but to give them the best deal for us, not for the developers, for us, for the district. That's what we need to do. The second thing is another reason why you're getting recalled is the dysfunction in this board. This cannot go on anymore. Ever since Karen Morgan got on this board, things have been completely dysfunctional. There is no rhyme or reason to this. When John Henderson started putting in his 50 cents worth, there is no sense in it. We have a goal, and that was to beat the developers on the lawsuit. The second goal was to balance the budget, which our treasurer can't even spell budget. She has no idea how to produce a budget, and it's supposed to be black, not red. 4 years, you guys have been in the red. 4 years, you have taken price increases. That is why you're getting recalled, Karen Morgan, because you want to spend $400,000 on a goofy bridge. No more buildings, no more bridges, no more. No mas. Make the best possible deal that we can with these developers. And I'm sure Joe is the right person for this. She's got him right by the throat right now. If she is handicapped in any way, we're going to lose. We are going to lose. The whole district's going to lose. I don't care about a Karen or an Alex or a Jeff. We will get this done without you, prima donnas. Public comment is a way of life. This is how our government works. And for you goofballs to think that you can even take public comment away from us, that the Constitution doesn't apply to you guys, that's another reason why you're getting recalled, Karen Morgan. Alex Plotkin. This is supposed to be an open district. The sunshine laws apply. You have hidden everything behind executive session. You have gone behind everybody's back and made special deals. You have consorted with other lawyers that are not in our best interest. No more lawyers.
I'm sorry. I think this falls under uncivil comment because those are
the
false
thing
allegations.
You know what? It's the Constitution. It's the Constitution.
I understand.
Please.
You can't make false claims.
What
here.
Is I haven't made one false remark. Not one.
These and are easily proven. Let's try and keep it.
No, I'm not. No, Karen. No. You don't try and bully me. That ain't going to work. That dog don't hunt.
Objection, Madam President. Can you
just
please,
a minute. Just
can
a
you
minute.
Please
he
observe
has a right.
the decorum
he has
in the
a right
meeting?
To speak. He has a right to speak.
In a civil manner.
He has a right to speak.
In a civil manner.
He has a right to speak.
You want
to
hear me get uncivil, Alex? I can.
Do you want to insult me some more in the about my culture or something, Mr. Mueller?
You want me to? We can keep
okay,
up.
Okay, let's stop.
But
let's stop right now.
Left.
Okay, let's stop. Let's not interrupt Mr. Mueller. Finish off your comments, please.
Thank you. No more. Balance the budget. Open the, become sunshine. We need the sunshine. No more backroom deals. No more lawyers because we can't afford them. Do your jobs right. But the recall is going to take care of you three turkeys. Thank you very much.
All right. Okay. So the thing is that, you know, people have a right to speak. It is the First Amendment. And I don't like it a lot of times, but that's the way it is. So Jesse, can you please proceed with public comment? Thank you.
Next is Christopher Arlen. You're unmuted, Christopher. Can you state your name for the minutes, please?
Christopher Arlen. And I would like to state that I find it rich that directors who so easily deride other people have such thin skin. Second, I would suggest that now that health restrictions have been lifted, you go back to public meetings. I find it highly disrespectful when directors turn off their cameras in the middle of the meeting. It's akin to me of them leaving the room. When you have a Christopher Arlen and a Dave Wickman that agree, and a Mike Mueller, and a Brenda Bronson that agree, you might slow your roll just for a moment to figure out what the heck's going on there. Ms. Hauser I had the opportunity to meet her, but I will tell you tonight that she has lied to you. And the way that I know that she has lied to you, because she knows that my view on development are much aligned to hers. And to say that I am some kind of puppet of the developers is a lie. And when people lie, you have to ask why. But several months ago, when I said that it appeared as though that this board was trying to use the apparatus of the district to control development in the Rooney Valley, I was met with great indignation and assurance that that wasn't the case. But it's very clear to anyone paying attention that these directors under recall are in league with Mr. Henderson, and his views regarding development are very clear. So I'm curious to know, if there's no connection to the district and Mr. Henderson's desire to impact development in Rooney Valley, then why would these directors characterize the petitioners of the recall effort as being pro-development or working on behalf of the developers? If there's no connection, why is it that they continue to make that connection? And I've witnessed since October what I would call many bad faith actions from these directors under recall. But I want to use the RFP tonight to point more clearly. The RFP seems to be another avenue by which these directors and perhaps the district manager are continuing to relate the apparatus of Green Mountain Water and Sanitation District to development. I point to item 12 in the RFP on page 5. And they say that they're seeking a representation that seeks advocacy on behalf of constituents and stakeholders. And then in parentheses, it says, as opposed to developers, which means that there is something here going on with development. However, they cannot use the apparatus of this district to control development. That is a corrupt intent. Let me be clear, that authority to control growth and development lies elsewhere, not within this district. These directors are acting as though that this is their personal social club where they get to decide what goes on. But this is an entity of the state of Colorado that is given authority, and it has a public purpose. And I quote, "The public purpose must be in service of providing water and sewer systems for public use, which are necessary to ensure and protect the health, safety, prosperity, security, and general welfare of the inhabitants of Green Mountain Water and Sanitation District." And we believe that these directors are improperly using this entity for a corrupt purpose. And even as though they're facing recall, and as much as they criticize previous boards for making decisions on the way out the door, they're using this RFP process as a Trojan horse to grant them greater authority and discretion to pursue these illegitimate agendas. But as Director Morgan and Plotkin said at the last meeting, well, they might as well get it done before they head out the door. Listen to the recording for that quote. So this RFP, if approved, it grants them authority to enter into agreements with persons or firms who have not even responded to the RFP. They say that for any reason that they can just do whatever they choose to do. So they have an RFP that is not fulfilling the function of the RFP while conveying themselves authority to decide. You say that it is us that has brought this recall on? No, it's you all. Ms. Hauser said that we should work with you. I have tried to work with you. You have chose to follow Mr. Henderson's whatever whim, as opposed to listening to the voice of the electors. And for that, you must go. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we have another person who wishes to comment. Devin Neal, I'll just make the announcement. She's a Solterra resident. So go ahead, Devin.
Oh, sorry, Adrian. Still want me to unmute people?
Oh, yeah, please do. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. I jumped the gun. Forgive me.
Okay, Devin, you're unmuted. Go ahead. Can you state your name for the minutes, please? Sure. Devin, Neil, and yes, I live in Solterra. I have been witnessing John Henderson for the last 6 years, and the board has received 100 to 150 emails from me over the last month about his behavior. It's well documented. It is what it is. I do want to talk to you about the First Amendment. So Karen and Alex, you guys, you know, I sent emails last week that y'all ignored. Let me read from the Ninth Circuit of the United States of America. The Supreme Court of the United States has consistently held the First Amendment protects verbal criticism. Woohoo! Duh! Challenges and profanity directed at police officers unless the speech is shown likely to produce a clear and present danger of a serious substantive evil that rises far above public inconvenience, annoyance, or unrest. Okay. Now, that is towards the police officer. Quite frankly, yes, I agree with both Mike, Brenda, and everyone who has spoken tonight. Christopher so eloquently stated, you guys have the thinnest skins ever. You lodged all this crap, but you can't take it. There is a reason why you're being recalled, and I hope you start to comprehend so much of this. Look, there's $400,000 or more that has been spent on senseless litigation because three of the current board members, Adrian, Alex, and Jeff, voted to get out of the IGA based on John Henderson's quote unquote legal advice. Well, he didn't think anything through to the logical conclusion. None of you can answer the questions that I have set forth because you don't want to. And fortunately, Adrian came to her senses, but you know, Karen, you got on the board, and according to John Henderson's latest, what I quite frankly label confession of all his errors and failures, you quickly became one of his darlings, one of his underlings, one of his lackeys. And, you know, it is what it is. The three of you have to go because none of you can stand up to John Henderson. John Henderson has cost this district $400,000. Bluntly, if anyone had taken the time to let, you know, patience rather than impatience, patience, and given Joe this IGA and said, wait, you know, we don't like this. Can you please painstakingly go through it and figure out if there's a way to get out of it? If that had happened, then Joe most likely would have figured it out. I hope that you guys can really understand what you have done, because and I hope someone tonight can apologize to the people of Green Mountain. I'm not one of you guys, but I see the waste, and I've watched it happen in my own community as a result of John Henderson. This is very simple. There needs to be an apology given. There needs to be responsibility taken, and the entire board needs to repudiate John Henderson. It's not about development, it's about law. The law is very simple. This law is private, the land is privately owned. They have a right to build. Now, they can't build without sewer. So yes, the IGA can go either way. Either the board can deny a new IGA, or the board can make a decision to enter a contract or an IGA that most benefits Green Mountain. Or the third choice, which I think everyone would say a hallelujah to, if there is a way to get, and I'm talking national, international money to spend what the developers call $160 million to purchase the land to make it a public owned land. That would be absolutely amazing. I think there would be a 100% agreement behind that concept, probably even from the developers, if it could happen. Bluntly, the question is, can it happen? That's all I want to say. I think that this is a very sad state. And again, I really hope that board members, somebody takes responsibility tonight, because again, John Henderson has been the source of all of the pain here in Green Mountain. Thank you.
Okay, there's room for more public comment. I think I see that Joan Poston has raised her hand. Joan, could you tell us if you are a resident of the district?
Adrian, do you want me to be unmuting people?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, that would probably be better than me. Thanks.
Joan, you're unmuted. Can you state your name for the minutes, please?
My name is Joan Poston, and I am not a resident of the district, but I am, up until some time ago, a personal friend of a couple of people on the board, and I worked very hard to get the board members from the original elected. And I attended some of the meetings when they were open, and then I stopped going because Zoom meetings, I find, are very similar to Facebook kinds of situations where people say things and they don't have to be in the room and hold themselves accountable. So the one thing I'd like to say is that I kind of back Mike's idea of a parliamentarian, mostly because once again tonight I watched the opening of this meeting and I watched somebody say something, but then had to have some kind of direction from the lawyer. And it reminds me of the beginning of the meetings that we first had and how the previous lawyer was all up in the board's business. I can honestly say that I've actually gone to the Colorado Supreme Court, as that is where you make complaints about certain situations concerning lawyers. And after some review, I had people inform me that lawyers have to be lawyers, but it doesn't say that they can't be somewhat unprofessional. I think from time to time, Joe has taken what has happened with this board extremely personal. And I think that is probably a good thing in some ways. She's been very good at doing some of the stuff that needs to be done. However, I was there when the slimy thing happened with the last board, when they passed a contract in the last minutes of the election because they knew they were going to be defeated. The reason they were going to be defeated is because they were doing slimy things. Now, I don't see too much sliminess happening. And actually, to tell the truth, I see people who are trying very hard to do the people's will. And the really hard thing is exactly what is the people's will. And I guess I'm glad to see that there is some mediation going on. And I'm glad that the RFP is happening to a certain extent. I think Joe is actually suing the previous lawyer on her behavior. That's at least the rumor. And I understand that a judge appointed Adrian, but I don't think she had to accept. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Poston. I guess there's one more person. Okay, I think it's John Henderson, and John Henderson is currently a resident of Maine and a former Solterra resident. Is that correct? Is that the right person that I got? So I guess, Jesse, can you unmute?
John, you're unmuted. Can you state your name for the minutes, please?
Yes, good evening. Thanks, Jesse. Thank you, Adrian. John Henderson, and yes, I live in the beautiful state of Maine with my two wonderful grandchildren. And I miss Colorado, and I miss you all, and I miss Solterra, and I'm it's so discouraging to see what's happened in the last year or so. But let me just, as I have tried to do all along, just make clear that the issue isn't about me. It's not about Ms. Neal. It's not about Ms. Arlen or anyone else. The issue simply is, what is the vision, what is the will of the community with respect to one simple question? And that question is, do you all want to provide sewer service outside of your boundary? If you do, you vote that way. If you don't, you vote the other way. And contrary to some reports, I wasn't there for 6 years, only four. And during that entire period of time, my goal has simply been to raise issues, provide education about those issues, and initiate debate about the issues. Genuine debate, not personal attacks, but genuine debate. So the simple question is, what is your vision? Mr. Arlen, Ms. Neal, Mr. Mueller, the board members, potential board members, what is your vision? There are choices. And once you make those decisions, then the course is set. We know from the record, we know what Ms. Neal's position is. We know what Mr. Arlen's position is. We've heard what Mr. Mueller's position is. And that's helpful. That will help guide the discussion going forward. But it's not the personality attacks, folks. It's not about me. It's not about Ms. Neal. Not about other people's personalities. It's simply, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? The decision's yours. I've done everything I could in the last 4 years to give you all a voice. Alex, Adrian, Jeff, and now Rhonda and Karen are working hard to give you a voice. Please don't abuse it. Please respect it. And I wish you all well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Henderson. There are two more people, I guess. Jesse, can you do that? Can you unmute them? Thank you.
Rita, you're unmuted. Could you state your name for the minutes, please?
Thank you, Jesse. Rita Bertoli. I just wanted to follow up on some comments. I wasn't going to speak, but just to follow up on some people that have come tonight to comment. I want to support having a hybrid meeting at the earliest available that the board could do that. I think Joan had mentioned something about in-person meetings are very good and wholesome for people. She has a lot of political experience with that kind of thing, and I think that would be something to follow up on and discuss. Perhaps she has some other ideas of how to do that best. Linnea, I wanted to thank you for having a almost three-hour meeting with myself and Christopher Arlen the other night. That was really such an action of goodwill on your part, and it was very, very honorable. And I just want you to know that I appreciate it, and I appreciate everything that you've done. And work is not over in the things that we need to get done. One thing that you did say is that a small group of people brought forth the recall, and I can assure you that even though there are some of us that have the time to attend meetings at night, it's not a small group of people. A lot of us know a lot of neighbors, and we've been around a long, long time. I've been here all my life. So we bring forth the people's will. That's what a petition does. And at one of the meetings, the reason this came up is it was being said, well, it shouldn't be these few people coming to the meeting to decide. Well, that's correct. Maybe that's true. If that's what everybody was feeling, let's let everybody have a chance for the discussion. That's what elections do. And I think that that is all I really wanted to say. I mean, just a walk away about John. I mean, if John, I appreciate that you really want genuine debate. And if you really do want to see no personal attacks, would you honor that yourself? Can we all honor that? Can we have a real discussion? And the last thing I'd like to do, I have several more minutes. I would like to defer my time to Rhonda, because I would like to hear, as citizen Rhonda Peters, I'll defer my time. She can say whatever she wants. but to listen to see what she said, wants to say about that mediation, because I think some of the actions that happened today and this whole week are a result of the fact that we didn't see any action happening on this board. So I just would like to defer the rest of my minutes to her as citizen Rhonda Peters. Thank you.
Okay, I this is something I normally don't do as far as board members, but I'll give you 3 minutes, Rhonda. Do you want to talk about the mediation if you had some ideas?
Is that acceptable?
Is that acceptable to the board that we do that? Is that okay? Okay, just go ahead. I don't see any objection. Go ahead.
And Joe, so
I'll give you 3 minutes.
No issues?
No. Okay.
Just checking.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, Rhonda, did you say me?
Yeah, is that, it's
yeah, okay. No, I don't see a problem with that. And I know Joan pointed out that sometimes the lawyer jumps in, but I can assure you I'm only here to make sure the district doesn't get sued. Mm-hmm. That's one of the roles of the lawyer, is to minimize mm-hmm. our litigation. So nothing wrong, Rhonda. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm a little on the spot. I wasn't prepared to speak about this, but I do strongly encourage mediation. And I think it's important. I think there are limitations that the board has in being able to speak freely, especially in situations if there's three or more, it needs to be deemed a public meeting. And so I think there are misunderstandings and maybe things that would like to be said that folks could understand a little bit more where each side is coming from. So I am a strong advocate of mediation to be able to have this necessary communication to resolve some of the issues that come up. I certainly see I see things from my perspective that I think could be resolved with increased communication and understanding. I had made a proposal to do that, and there were folks that had been looked into to provide mediation, but there was no affirmation from any directors that I'm aware of to support the mediation process. I think I'm the only one who responded to the district manager that was interested. I don't know, so I don't have information.
I take an objection with that. I did respond.
I also responded, and I was for the mediation, and I had proposed it at the last meeting.
And so how about from, yes, and thank you both. You both supported it. And so that, and I thought that was very helpful. But when Greg had sent the information out, he told me that I was the only one that was interested in moving forward with the firm that they found in Golden.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get any, he said nobody else had responded to his inquiry. That I was the only one that responded to him.
Do you want me to? There was a goal with three directors to move forward with the offering of Mr. LeBeau. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And then that was decided that Mr. LeBeau wouldn't be impartial. And so suddenly we found we had kind of two directors saying no. To saying yes. So when I said, well, do you want me to pursue this other firm? At that stage, I didn't hear from anybody other than you, Rhonda. So
okay.
Yeah, thanks for that clarification. And I do, you know, I know that multiple folks from within the district have offered to provide that service. And are we at 3 minutes, Adrian?
Yes, we are. We're done. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
But anyway, thank you very much. You know, maybe we can pursue this in other matters, things like that. I was in favor of a neutral firm. Yeah, just.
So you would support that firm, Adrian?
Yes.
Golden?
Maybe I missed that. Get all these emails.
Can we please now observe the agreed upon
terms to move on. Okay, just a moment, just a moment, just a moment. There is someone else who would like to contribute to public comment. Okay.
Imara, you're unmuted. Can you state your name for the minutes, please?
Good evening. My name is Reverend Amara. I'm a constituent of Green Mountain Water and Sewer District since 1992. Intransigence is the refusal to change one's views or to agree about something. It is sad to me that we have to have a recall. It is stunning how many constituents in the district so readily signed recall petitions in less than a week. And if we did another week and another week, you'd probably see the totality of all votes from the last election. It is not only some of the behavior and activities that have been consciously done by the three people being recalled, but it is this intransigence that you continue to demonstrate and prove the point of why, sadly, a recall is necessary. One of you continues with every uttered syllable to be snarky, sarcastic, angry, viciously so, complaining about his post. But yet when you were asked to resign, you refuse. Another one last week said, well, if we're going to be recalled, we better move forward with our agenda. That's childish and retaliatory. Another reason that the recall must move forward if you also, who have been publicly asked to resign, refuse. Another one of you a few weeks ago refused to meet with our attorney. A reason in and of itself. There are so many reasons. But when someone refuses to acknowledge that they have either misjudged or chosen badly or done anything improper, there is no course but for the citizens to have them removed from office. You went around in circles spending our time and money last week about the idea of mediation. I applaud Director Peters for making her best attempt to bring you together. And yet, behind the scenes, after the fact, when the recording is off, nothing moves forward. The only thing left to do that is honorable is to resign rather than suffer the humiliation of a recall. The false narrative being proposed mostly by impassioned people from Solterra who benefit as third-party beneficiaries from our plaintiff's wins, which is most interesting, is really laughable. Mr. Stevenson would love to know that people like me, are you kidding? Rita, Mike Mueller, and others are being paid off by the developers. I mean, that's the highest form of levity we've had in the last 6 months. So in this whole sad situation, I ask you to consider doing the most peaceful, the most honorable thing, and most importantly, the best thing for your constituents you have continued to ignore, at least as a final move. Resign with dignity rather than be recalled in humility. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there any further public comment? If not, that will wrap it up. But I don't see anybody else.
If you want to, just to mention again, Adrian, any yes. callers that may have joined.
Oh yes.
To raise your hand on the phone is *9.
*9. Like anyone on any callers on the phone who would like to do *9? Okay. Nobody. Okay. I guess we can move on to the next item of business. I'm assuming there's nobody else who wants to talk. So then we have item number 5, Director's Matters. There are 3 things in Director's Matters. Consideration of, approval of, disapproval of RFP for non-litigation legal services. B, discussion of withdrawal of Scott Gessler. C, discussion of district election official in the event of the recall election, plural, elections. Okay, so item number five, who would like to proceed with item number A? Which of our directors would like to proceed with item number A? Okay. So there is no discussion of consideration of approval of or disapproval of the RFP for non-litigation legal services. Is that correct? Shall we move on
to a motion.
What? Excuse me?
I said I will make a motion to approve the RFP that's been out there for two or whatever weeks now for the retention of a Title 32 consul for the district and to proceed forward with the RFP.
So do we have a second?
So
we have a motion is AP. And the second is Jeff Baker. And correct. Then that's correct. And so now we move on to discussion. I would like to ask how much is this going to cost the district? So if we have two lawyers, okay, so we have one person who charges X amount and another who charges Y. And so we will now have, for this tiny district, we will have two lawyers. So does anyone have a cost estimate? Any of the directors who passed the motion, do you have an idea of the cost estimate of what additional legal costs this is going to require of the district? Do you have any ideas?
If you recall, Director Hannigan, I was one of the directors who had raised the issue with Mr. Astuno coming to the meetings when suddenly, without the vote of the board, it was decided by means that I'm not aware of, that he would be taking the minutes during the meetings at a cost of $250 an hour during the meetings. And there is also a number of instances where there were multiple lawyers working for the district. And if you recall, again, I do believe Director Morgan and myself had raised issues with the legal body budget at several meetings, but at the time that did not seem to raise any alarms with anybody. So I do not see how Title 32 person being present at the meetings while Ms. Timmons concentrates solely on the litigation would be any different.
So you don't know. So the thing is that you have no idea in terms of a spreadsheet or a cost estimate of what this would cost the district.
A spreadsheet or a cost estimate were not provided to the board when those other lawyer attendances happened. So I don't see how this is different.
Well, I think it is, but minutes. I would like to ask, minutes is the secretary's responsibility. Is that correct?
The bylaws specifically state that we can have a scribe attending the meetings, which has been always the case since before our election to the board, if you recall. And at the time we used to have Miss Ivy who took the minutes. Later it was Miss Sue. I apologize, Singh, if I'm remembering the last name correctly, who took the minutes, and that was at a significantly lower rate than when Mr. Astuno was taking them later, again, without the board's vote.
Sorry to interrupt, but the minutes, I don't want to get too far down on a minutes pathway. What I am hearing and what my impression was is the cost of another attorney would be just the difference in their rates because we are substituting one for another. We are not doubling duty. So that is what I think I heard Director Plotkin say too.
That is correct. Thank you.
So there will be no doubling of duties. There is no doubling of attorneys.
Uh-huh. So anyway, but then we also have that additional cost of the scribe. So all of that stuff. So there are now, it's sort of morphed into three. At least that's the way I see it.
So are you insinuating that before this, we were not charged for Ms. Singh's time?
Someone who could answer that is Ms. Timmons. So I would like to, you know more about how your office works.
You are talking about, okay, first of all, You talked about multiple lawyers, Alex. We had 7 lawsuits pending. That didn't include the Green Tree lawsuit that I also handled. That would be the 8th lawsuit just in the last 2 years. We had a lot of work that needed to happen, and I'll discuss that. You brought up the withdrawal of Mr. Gessler, and I'll go over that in that next topic. But yes, so there were multiple lawyers, partly because it became very difficult for me. I needed somebody to help me handle the meetings because the meetings became very contentious. Anyway, there's no point in defending that. That's not the issue here today. I do know that you may have seen my engagement letter in the RFP when I was hired. And so I was hired as the general counsel for this district. So I'm not really sure what all is happening here. We have got some serious litigation that is still pending right now. That's not going to be over with for at least a couple of months. Actually, a critical stage for a couple of months. After that, there's still litigation pending. There cannot be a disruption or distraction at this time, which has been happening for me for 2 years with John Henderson. And so I'm telling you that the best thing right now is to focus on the most important things, which is this litigation, which is still pending. That's what should be the focus of this board, is to protect the district, protect its reserve budget, which belongs to the people out there who attend these meetings. It's their money that you're managing.
If I may respond to that, I did just mention that several of the directors expressed concerns about how the money was being spent, and we got pretty much chastised and treated in a hostile manner for that. If you recall it, I don't remember how many meetings in a row now. So I do take a point with us being lectured on how we have not been watching out for the budget.
It's not so much the budget, Alex. I'm talking about, we still have 4 cases pending that haven't been.
And if I may, Ms. Timmons, I just did specifically say that litigation would be your primary focus. Nobody's arguing with that.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you that at this point, to add any disruption, you know, I'm just saying it's been very difficult for me to be fighting 10 lawyers in front of me and 2 butcher knives in my back.
Okay. I am struggling to understand.
Just a minute. Mr. Plotkin, will you please let her finish her statement? Thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm just explaining to you what has been happening to me for 2 years. I was under an ethical obligation to continue the litigation once it was started, but it became very difficult and unmanageable for me because of outside lawyers who were weighing in with the board and causing a lot of disruption and distraction. So it's kind of hard to be fighting 10 people in front of you with knives in your back. Jeff, you've been in the military. That's court martial for people to stab you in the back when you're trying to fight for the team. So I'm just telling you that this is a difficult situation that you're talking about right now.
So if I may, I mean, with all due respect, I guess I am struggling to understand here if my doing research of legal documents has been stabbing people in the back, or if my sending you emails with specific items that were potentially crucial to the litigation, if that's what you're implying by being stabbing in the back. Or if perhaps the number of my emails related to the litigation, which were ignored, or never responding to, if that's stabbing in the back. Furthermore, I do believe that we've now been having concerns, and as we've heard from some of the constituents, that the daily business of the district and Title 32 matters are not necessarily being attended to in a timely manner. And that's what I believe is what we're trying to address here. And actually, in some ways, to yet again help you to have even more free time to address the litigation. So I am confused and frankly feel that I'm being disrespected in any of these insinuations, and I'm tired and sick of them. And this is one of the false narratives that's been levied, that somehow some of the board directors have been trying. I mean, I'm curious, we just heard several people raise issues, you know, with the settlement or this and the other, and in any number of executive sessions where several of the directors were trying to fight to present all the possible legal options to the public, where we've been shut down, or you know, where suddenly we start seeing expenses where somebody was working on the draft IGA long before the board even had a chance to make any sort of a group decision on how we should proceed forward with the litigation. I mean, is that what we're talking about when we're talking about the knives in the back? Or was it those emails back in May of 2020 that I was sending to you, Ms. Timmons, was pointing out specific documents in the district files which might have been crucial to the litigation? Madam President, with all due respect, a number of issues have been raised against me which are simply false or defamatory in nature, and I'm sick and tired of it. And I will not sit here and allow people just to pile on. And you're sitting there saying that, you know, fine, freedom of speech and whatnot, but falsehoods are falsehoods.
Yeah, I'm talking partly, Alex, about destroying documents, destroying public records. Okay.
What documents did I destroy, Ms. Timmons? What documents did I destroy? Please provide proof.
Let her answer. Go ahead, and then you can answer.
You need to get into this now, Alex. You know what you've done.
I am not the one bringing these things up, Ms. Timmons. Here you are attacking me. I might as well be sitting across from Mr. Norton right now.
Okay.
The way you're speaking. And this is what I've been subjected to behind the scenes for over a year now.
So I give you specific things and you give me personal attacks. But anyway, I'm just pointing out that.
I am sorry. How was that a personal attack? You're accusing me of doing something on legal basis. How is this a personal attack?
Can you let her finish?
Politely point out for the record that Ms. Timmons is now officially attacking me. This is legal harassment and bullying, Ms. Timmons. This is what I've been subjected to behind the scenes for well over a year. This is one of the things that I've raised over and over, by the way, with you, Ms. Hennigan, and with Director Baker, and with Ms. Peters. And none of it has been sufficiently addressed. So when people talk about mediation, let's do mediation right now.
Okay, what I would like to do is, could you be more specific? And do you have the specific documents? And then
those emails
just a minute. Can I finish? I would appreciate being allowed to finish my sentence. Thank you. What I would like to do is ask you, can you give me the date of the meeting where you felt you were chastised?
Well, that's just a convenient thing, Ms. Hennigan, that, for example, right now, if we go back to some of the public comments earlier that are some of which are based on falsehoods, unfortunately, I mean, people have their right to speak, fully agree with that. But,
you know,
where's this information coming from? And by the way, did anybody, you know, I presume that by now, Mr. Baker's and my depositions have been spilled out there. And some of the insinuations that have been made just based on that alone, to me, again, I might as well be sitting across from the plaintiff's lawyers. And that's one of the things that has happened behind the scenes that, fine, let's speak about it. In individual phone calls, one-on-one phone calls, and this is what I've spoke to in several meetings in a row now, unfortunately, there is now no record. And how convenient is it that Mr. Baker and myself and Mr. Henderson's are the only ones who have gotten subjected to deposition, yet somehow here we are having these multi-hour meetings and nobody else has been subjected to deposition. And yet somebody will have the gall to say that somehow Mr. Baker and myself were not acting in the best interest of the district? Or have we forgotten that somehow, you know, some of these outreaches that you yourself, Ms. Hennigan, have done to Mr. Henderson in the past? And somehow have people forgotten who and how worked on the resolution to originally reskind the IGA? I will not sit here and be subjected to defamation and false statements and harassment.
I
apologize, Director Morgan. That's why all we're trying to do here is getting the district back to running and get a Title 32 lawyer engaged for daily business purposes. There is any number. And by the way, the falsehood statements earlier about Director Morgan going out there, Director Peters and Director Morgan were sanctioned by the board to go out during the settlement proceedings to do certain things. That was a decision of the board. So please say what you will, but I will not hear here and be subjected to this.
Thank you, Director. I have to agree with that. I have to say, I think knives in the back is a pretty personal statement and hostile and violent too. I don't know about that one. I have not seen any of that. I don't think that questioning decisions and not agreeing with decisions, I think that's part of this process. I would like to see being working directly for, to rein all this in, I understand everything you've said here, but basically the first duty to understand about anybody working directly for the board, and in this case, I'm afraid that is Ms. Timmons. Mr. Kropkowski could speak at length about how hard it is to work directly. You have five bosses. It's not an easy position to be in. This is, that is the crux of the issue. And you need somebody who has experience there. You have somebody who can't, you need somebody who can handle all of these different personalities and knows the boundaries of how to take action. That action can only be taken by a majority board vote. That's how this board at any board operates. You can't just pick and choose which director you would like to support. You can't just pick and choose which directions you'd like to take part of. So I think that is the key point here. It's really hard for a successful take charge litigator to do. You cannot argue, you have to sit back and accept this is an advisory position. You can't keep arguing your statements. You don't need to get the last word. You have to be able to sit back and be able to and to accept that maybe the board as a body will take a vote that you may not agree with. But that's at the crux of what this is. And special district attorneys, any attorneys with experience here, will be able to handle that situation better. That is the specialty. That is experience that you need outside of knowing the Title 32. You have to be able to deal with all those people. So, and it's a hard job.
I'm outnumbered, so I know that you'll go on to the next and take up an hour. And I
I'm sorry that wasn't an expression or an ask for an opinion.
You get to so you said, "Oh, no knives in my back," but Karen, you made a motion not to pay me my legal fees for the work.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just made the point that this is an advisory position.
Just a minute.
And I'm entitled to respond.
Is that right?
I am. Yes, I am.
This is partial of the problem.
Yeah, no.
Karen, stop.
You voted, Karen, not to pay me for the legal fees for the work I did in this litigation. That is.
I'm sorry. Let's stop. If you can respond, so can I. I did not. I specifically tried to get your board, that was not a board decision, to have that meeting.
No, that's
that not- was a March 30th meeting that we decided not to have.
Look at.
And that wasn't it.
Fees for the month of March.
Well, that's because we never got to the rest
March,
of it.
You know what, Karen? You're going to talk about the March 30th meeting?
I don't understand why we can't do this. You can interrupt, but I can stop.
Here's the final thing. This RFP, I saw it today for the first time. Now, Alex says it's been out there. The board packet didn't come out until minutes before this meeting started. The public has not seen it. Rhonda came up with a proposal that every single public body does. Every single public body I am familiar with has a first reading and a second reading, and they bring the document to the meeting and discuss it. For you to vote on this tonight would be inappropriate in my view. You have not satisfied the requirements of letting the public know the discussion and what it is that you're proposing. That's why Rhonda's proposal is a good one. I understand other members of the public have proposed that. You people have not been doing that for months and months. You've been violating the Open Meetings Act. And this decision tonight could very likely be void because you are on the verge of violating the Open Meetings Act. So
let her finish, please. Yes. Okay.
Recalls the public comment earlier, Ms. Romero said she saw it, and I'm curious, where did she get it from? I do believe, Mr. Yes. Kropkowski, if you may indicate how long has this been posted on the website per legal counsel's advice?
Mm-hmm. After the May 11th meeting, the board directed it be posted on the website, and that's when it went up.
Thank you.
Greg, when did the board packet? Greg, when did the board packet get posted, Greg?
We're asking about the board packet.
The board packet was posted yesterday.
Well, irrelevant to the conversation because again,
Heron, would you please
do you stop interrupting?
You are making irrelevant points. These are not advising. You are making policy as we go. There is no policy that says we have to have a board packet that has all of this out there. This is your policy. This is not the board's policy. This is the problem. This is not the law. Do you know how many special districts don't have board packets? They have other motions. You did not get hired with an RFP.
Karen, will you respect the chair? Please.
I don't know if I can because we're letting these irrelevant arguments spin out.
So you
there
need to stop.
There is nothing wrong with the way we have done this.
Karen,
the RFP
please
was noticed
stop.
Under open meetings
Karen, stop.
In a public meeting.
Stop.
Was it April 27th?
Stop.
So
please.
There's been notice.
Please stop.
Adrian, if I may.
Listen. You know, just a minute. Who is running the meeting? Are you running the meeting? Mr. Baker, are you running the meeting? Are you running the meeting, Karen? Will you please allow me to run the meeting? Thank you. Okay, so if we can...
Madam Chair, if I may.
Please, go ahead. Thank you.
I also would like to point out that there has been a number of instances where the board has said if there is a motion that needs to be made for a specific action and direction to the council, we were told that's not the case. And I do recall requesting that the council reviews the RFP and reviews the agreement with the CCG. And at some point, specifically to the CCG, when I reached out to Ms. Timmons and Mr. Kropkowski and said, has the agreement for CCG been reviewed? It seemed to me that somehow that was not the case, but I guess then the email had to be resent or something to that case for Ms. Timmons to be reviewed. So what I'm trying to say here is there's been a number of instances where we just simply would make a direction and we were told over and over and over that that is sufficient for the council to take action. So I do recall there has been a request that was made to review this RFP by the council, and I did not see any specific response to that request. So I don't think it is fair to say that this is the first time this has somehow been broached or shown or not shown or anything of that matter. Thank you.
I wanted to ask, someone has put up something. There are material defects in the RFP. I not knowing what that is. Do you know what a material defect is, Joe?
Well, I mean, there's issues with it. That's the whole point of having discussion about a document rather than coming to a meeting and making a motion to vote on that's what happened with the last IGA. That's how it went down, okay? It just got voted on. No discussion. Nobody looked at the content. I went on, Greg, I did not see a board packet. It came on there minutes before this meeting. But I guess there's no way for us to verify that. But I'm pointing out.
I'll just chime in really quick, Joe. We did have the board packet up last night. I just want to make sure from a technical standpoint that we did it as soon as it was made available to us. So I just want to clarify that if people had issues with that, you know, we can address that.
Mm-hmm. And again, to Mr. Kropkowski's point, the board specifically agreed for the RFP to be on the website to be reviewed by, well, basically the whole world, I would presume, because anybody can get to the website. So I find it disingenuous to be told that somehow this was hidden or not shown to anybody. And again, I do recall there was a request being made to council to review the RFP. So I don't understand why we're hearing about this just now, yet again.
So Rhonda, is this would this comport with the proposed procedure that you have proposed for dealing with documents? Would this comport with that procedure?
When was the RFP posted on the website first?
May 11th, not May 12th or 13th, Rhonda.
Okay, so it was discussed at the last meeting and it was posted on
May 12th or 13th, and it's May 25th now. So it's been up there since May 12th or 13th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sam and Jesse could maybe give you a time date stamp as to when it went up, but that was the direction of the board coming out of May 11th. It was also a directive to send at that time the council, you know, the April 20th and 27th meeting, legal counsel in attendance was Scott Gessler. And so wanting an RFP to kind of look at for legal purposes, it was sent soon after the April 27th meeting, just to legal counsel. And it was, you know, the thought would be that I would get comments. Really, essentially, it's just the last RFP the board did in the spring of, you know, January, February, March of 2019, which was which was used to obtain the services of Dizelle Timmons. That's all it is. To make it, and again, I'm willing to take directives from legal counsel. I did my best to take off any indication that this legal firm or whoever would care to respond to an RFP. There's no telling anybody will respond to an RFP. To remove any vestiges that they would be involved in anything litigious. Scott wrote back and said it looked good. I've got that email. So that's all I have. And so after May 11th, when the board said, hey, this should go on the website for the public to consider, that's what it did. It went on the website then. And so it was on the agenda for today. Remember, that was part of the meeting last month, as I remember it, was the board said, let's try mediation. And if mediation doesn't work, then we'll come back on May 25th. And we'll consider posting an RFP. That's all. So it'd be great not to have a meeting tonight, but with one reason for a lateness of posting of the board packet was just a desire to see if any kind of mediation could take place. You remember you and I were talking about it late Friday afternoon. And I thought, you know, since I don't keep regular working hours, I was open to hear if board members wanted to do litigation this week, if they reached me on Saturday or Sunday last week. So when it appeared that that wasn't going to happen and we had a statutory requirement to post no later than 24 hours, we had to post something by Monday. And that's what we did.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Kropkowski. Is there anything else you would like to add? What I found is that I looked for the board packet in the app, not the board packet, but I looked for the agenda yesterday afternoon. And then I noticed that it was there at 6 p.m. And at that time, at 6 p.m., I did not see a board packet at all. So I was looking for one. And then I went online to look, you know, on my Green Mountain Water website, on the Green Mountain Water server on Outlook, and I found no board packet whatsoever. And I have no idea when the board packet was posted, you know, maybe 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 PM or something like that.
Jesse, when was it posted? When did you guys,
I'll pull up the time right now. There's a timestamp on it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Rhonda, I just wanted to clarify about the procedure that you were proposing, because I thought what you said was there would be two readings of the same document. Yes. So if it's going to be a document voted on, it would be presented at two meetings. The first one would be the first reading. And so this, that's why I mentioned this, because this particular document was not presented in a previous meeting. So this was the first meeting. Now, you know, and that's why that way, see, the public is not allowed to comment right now because it's been shut out. As you know, there's been a vote to not allow.
Okay.
The public will not be able to comment on this document.
It was up. So it was on the agenda.
Excuse me, Karen.
Can she finish?
We are getting
Karen, let her finish. Karen, no, stop. You are not the board president. Stop.
I am not. I'm going to call the question because
you need to stop talking. Karen, you need to stop talking now.
I'm calling the question.
You're going to stop talking.
So
now,
as board president, you can't honor that.
Could you just clarify? I thought the procedure was that there would be, and the whole point of having the two readings is that you bring the document once, there's discussion around it. The next time you bring it, the public has already heard all your discussion. They can make meaningful comments about it at the next meeting, and that would be the second reading. That's what I thought was your proposal. Yeah.
That's the procedure. So I guess the May 11th date, did we have any meetings? I just have to look
at. We had a meeting, but this particular RFP has not been presented.
If I may politely object here, because A, we're discussing a whole procedure that hasn't been voted on. B, we're discussing a whole item that's not even on the agenda. And here we are going in circles again.
That's right. I appreciate that. Thank you, Director Plotkin. This is off the agenda. This hasn't been voted on, and I think I just said, and somebody told me to shut up, that this is making procedure as we go. All of this is procedural questions designed to obstruct a board vote. So are we talking about the motion on the table or not? We can get back to modifying the bylaws procedure later. But the motion on the table, which I have called, and if we are following any, which I know we don't, but if we were following any kind of procedures, I've called the question. If there's anything else to discuss, I mean, nothing's come up besides these outside procedural points, which have already been covered. The motion was to look at the RFP. Was that the motion?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Director Baker, you're the only one who has not commented on this yet, except to second it. Perhaps you have something to say.
No, there was a motion on the floor to move forward with the RFP. There was a second. Okay. Then we went into discussion. Then we went off the rails in a couple of different directions. And then you did a call to question. So Robert's rules.
I am not sure that we are ready. We're ready to pass it. We have to set a deadline for the RFP to end. Is that in the RFP? Is there a deadline?
I would be completely amicable to that, Madam President. We can just
When? Because if it's not in there, you know, I don't know. You know, you have to have an expiration date, right? Does the document need to be modified to have an end date? You know, normally we would do 30 days. The long-standing tradition for the district is 60 days. Not in there, can I finish? So the tradition for the district is 60 days. So, you know, it needs to be in there. Thank you. Okay. And also the defects, do we really want to have stuff in there about a particular business entity? I'm kind of uncomfortable with that. I don't know that it needs to be there. I'm just concerned about lawsuits and things like that. So I'm just going to, can I finish? Can I finish what I'm saying? These are my objections. Thank you.
Good. I object to be taking this public comment from reading them off the screen after board motions. This is once again, then I have to say, I know you don't follow procedures. We don't have procedures. And even after board vote about public comment, and this is what we're doing, Mr. Arlen obviously doesn't respect the process either, but this is, the public comment is over.
Well, I don't think we have a longstanding tradition of going 60 days. We did not do that when we hired Council Timmons, Council Matisse. So there's no longstanding thing of that, Madam President. So we are well within our limits to state the time frame tonight. There's a call to Karen has called the call to question. So
Okay. Basically, I guess so. Okay. So all right. Is there any further question? Mr. Plotkin, what would you like to say?
So, Mr. Baker, you just talked about the length of time. Would you be willing to amend my motion to specify a length of time for the RFP?
I think that's all within, you know, that's within anyone's typical wherewithal. You typically would, you know, you can make it however long you want it to be. But, you know, I think you go 7 to 10 days of a public posting at a minimum. You can go out 60 meeting? Days, you can go out 90 days, you can go out a year. You can do whatever, you know. I don't know if there is an exact time frame on that. I think it's to the discretion of the board wishing to do the hiring, how long they want to post the rec for.
Director Baker, okay. I'm sorry. Can you clarify then what you, I heard 7 to 10 days. Was that for, were you suggesting for a posting or for a first reading? Can we make an amendment to say that the RFP will be posted and close within 7 to 10 days? Or were you thinking to repost it on our website for 7 to 10 days and then find a date?
No, I'm talking about posting it for 7 to 10 days. You see what you've got, you know, that okay. The respondees see what you've got in there. If it looks like you have a good pool of candidates and, you know, if the board's satisfied with that, you can move forward. If you're not, you can extend that.
Okay. So is that an official amendment?
I believe it has to be an amendment, Director Baker.
Okay. I move to amend a posting of 10 days on the RFP.
I will accept your amendment, sir.
I have a question I'd like to ask. Adrian, are you chairing the meeting still? If nobody opposes, so even if this motion passes, are directors open to mediation still?
So Director Peters, can we talk about that? I would love to talk about that since I proposed it at the last meeting. And I do have a lot of heartburn that did not happen. So I would love to talk about that, but I'd like to clear off this agenda 5A first, and then we can talk about that. All right. You know what? I'm fine.
I love it. Can we do that as a separate, because that keep us on track. So is there, we have an amended motion on the table. Can we take a vote on that before, I don't know if Director Hannigan is here before
we move on. Okay. Amended motion. I had, I desperately needed a drink of water. So I just ran and got one. So the thing is that what I would like to do is if it's an amended motion, then that means we can have a discussion of that. Now, my question is this. Does anybody remember how long we did the Joe Timmons? Do you remember how long that posting was? Do you have any recollection? Was it 30 days or 60 days or something?
I believe it was 30 days.
30 days. Oh, okay. I was just thinking 60. Yes. So it was 30.
Post it, I think. Anyway. Uh-huh. Yeah.
The reason we were going 30 days back there, Madam President, is we were going board meeting to board meeting.
Yes.
And we haven't been at the cadence we're currently under.
Yes, that's right.
We've been under for several months.
Okay. So anyway, the thing is, I wanted to ask, if you've already, it would appear that you've already found someone.
Negative.
In 7 to 10 days, have you already found someone?
Negative.
I just wanted to ask. Thank you. I just wanted to ask. And may I also ask, are you considering Scott Gessler or Shohet, I think it was? Which of those two? Are those already
Madam
in the
President,
office?
Madam President, there is nobody that has responded officially to the request. So the answer is no and no.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. I just wanted to clarify because 7 to 10 days seems awfully fast to find a lawyer. So,
well, it can, Adrian, if the board, if we don't get respondees, we will have to extend it.
But 7 to 10 days is pretty close.
There's no harm in seeing what happens. See what happens.
Okay. So just questions about that. I guess that wraps up my discussion questions. Are there anything else anybody would like to ask? No? Okay. So for the, yes, Rhonda?
And just to confirm that this is not to replace Attorney Timmons, this is to add a attorney, is that correct?
Director Peters, on the agenda 5A, on the end, it says for non-litigation legal services. We have stated this over and over and over and over again that the full intention of the board is to keep Ms. Timmons and her firm in place to manage the litigation and lawsuits that we're currently going through.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And with that, a follow-up question. So I had worked with Attorney Timmons on the Ravine Sewer Bridge that could potentially lead to litigation with the city of Lakewood or not. I don't know, but it's would that still be contained under her purview?
I would not think so. And I also worked with her on that. And I would think all that regular district business would go to the new person under the new, and she could be on litigation. So there may be a short time over, but in my view, I don't see how that we can have that set. I'd like to see the divisions drawn clearly. What do you think?
I feel like she did a very good job and I'd like to see her continue. I do feel like there are certain things that are definitely her strengths. And so I do not support putting somebody else on that. I'm really struggling with this. I had hoped that we would be able to have mediation prior to moving into this. And so I'm in a difficult position here. I understand that there are disagreements and I watch what happens in these meetings and I'd like to see a resolution to that. I also feel that Attorney Timmons does a good job for the district in the legal matters, but I'm also sympathetic to other board members and the issues that are going on. So I had hope to resolve this in a different way. So I'll probably be voting no.
Okay, thank you very much.
If I could follow up, because I appreciate the discussion about the Ravine Bridge. I would welcome somebody else looking at that, because that is, because there is a lot of issues still to go and it is clearly ongoing. I think we're about at the same spot where we were. But you know that I also, since it was brought up, I was adamantly against using any district funds to be paying for that bridge. So I wanted a successful resolution where there would be some kind of, because I believe that has been used as city property in that park for a long time. So that is something that it's an emergency kind of thing. It was an emergency last year when they brought it to our attention and I foolishly told staff that no, we could work on it and get it done. And it's, here we are again the next year, but that is not because I am looking to take ownership of that bridge. And in fact, it's quite the opposite and that's on record. So, is there anything else about the amendment discussion?
I would also like to ask something else about the ice snuggle issue and if that is acceptable, because I think this does concern the RFP, and would this new person take over the ice snuggle issues? That I think we don't want to reveal legal strategy at this point, But that I think is very important. This is not part of, okay, this is not part of the litigation with the Big Sky and the other lawsuit, you know, other lawsuits and things like that.
Madam President?
Yes.
I think that would logically still fall into the ongoing, well, I would think somewhat litigation matters. So shall continue the way it is now.
I would agree that statement. I would agree with Director Plotkin on that, Madam President.
Because I just don't know. I just don't know if that falls into it because it was not directly related to the Big Sky.
So and for I just the don't record, I'm sorry. Yes? I didn't mean to cut you off. For the record, I would state that Council Timmons would stay in place for that with the litigation on that item.
Okay. So basically, Ms. Timmons, what is the workload look so far with all the stuff that's going forward? I think don't we have still a lawsuit to settle in January? Is that correct? Something scheduled?
Yeah, I explained this last time, but
I'd like to hear it again. I wasn't there.
I'm sorry. That's right. One, we got the motion for summary judgment granted on the main case. That was the Big Sky case. That was the IGA. That there are four other cases brought by developers, as you all know. Those cases were not dismissed, judgment wasn't granted on those because the motion didn't ask for that. The motion was strategically designed to be very narrow. I believe that's part of the reason it was granted, because of the strategy that was used. But it only resolved one of the lawsuits, but by extension, we're hoping it will resolve all the lawsuits. But anyway, that is still an issue. We still have four lawsuits set for trials in January right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I'm saying still needs to be resolved. I mean, we have briefs due. I've been working on four briefs that are going to be filed next month. In addition to that, there is the malpractice litigation as well. And so, I mean, there's just a lot of ongoing litigation. Just because there was a motion for summary judgment that we won, there will be post-judgment motions, lots of litigation off even at the end. I mean, just to put everything to bed, it takes a while. So it still requires some pointed effort to get everything resolved. That's just the nature of litigation. That's how that goes.
Okay, thank you very much. Rhonda, are there further questions?
Yes. I heard a number of public comments at the beginning of the meeting regarding adding a parliamentarian as opposed to adding additional counsel. And I would like to hear board members' thoughts on that as an alternate proposal.
Could you repeat what you just said? I just want to absorb it a little better.
At the beginning of the meeting, there were a couple public comments suggesting a parliamentarian support the meetings. And I was wondering if board members would consider that as an alternate proposal to the RFP.
Oh, a parliamentarian?
Did you hear that? There was, yes, I think it was.
Yes, I did.
Poston, yes. At least, I think.
They were both agree. I think that's a good idea, actually. That's an excellent idea. So we can.
Heard it and I'm open to it. I'd like to know if other board members would entertain that as an alternate proposal.
Yes. Okay, that sounds reasonable, but I'm not sure that this discussion will go anywhere. You know, I support you, Miss Peters. I think that's an excellent idea. So as an alternative to the RFP, but I think we've exhausted this discussion, and I think we need to move to a vote. Am I in agreement?
Thank you, Madam President.
Yes?
Yes, ma'am.
But, you know, I'm concerned about the issues with the defects, with the stuff that's written, and also with the dates that are not listed. 7 to 10 days seems a little odd to me. I don't think that that's appropriate. I think we should give ourselves 30 days. I mean, just because that's what we've done in the past. We had to do it quickly to hire Ms. Timmons. Usually I think it was 60 days before, and then we changed that to 30 days in order to hire her. So that is my opinion. But given that, because there is a motion on the floor and we've concluded the discussion, I would like to move to vote. Is that acceptable?
It's acceptable.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay.
Nay.
Nay. So there are three in favor. Mr. Baker, Mr. Plotkin, Ms. Morgan. There are two who are opposed, Rhonda Peters and Adrian Hannigan. So that goes on the record. Now, item number B is discussion of withdrawal of Scott Gessler. All of us got the withdrawal letter. And it seemed, basically what I would like to do is I would like to ask Ms. Timmons, what was going on with the withdrawal letter? It seemed perfectly pleasant, you know. Okay, so if you would like to sit, just a minute. I'm running the meetings, Miss Morgan. I am running the meeting. You need to stop interrupting me. You need to stop pointing things out and let. I asked Miss Timmons if she would please like to comment on this. This is her law firm. She hired Mr. Gessler, and she, I don't know the exact details of their conversation, but I would like it if she could give us the version of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Adrian. So my law firm hired Scott Gessler, and the reason he was hired was to help me because the district had 5 trials scheduled in a period of 2 months' time. So I made the decision that I needed an additional trial lawyer. My law firm hired him directly. As you all know, my law firm ended up winning the litigation on a motion for summary judgment, and therefore the trials were over. There were the main trial that was set is no longer going to happen. It was canceled by the judge. So therefore, the reason that Scott was hired no longer existed. Scott and I had a conversation about it, about the remaining work that needed to be done. He and I mutually agreed that he should withdraw his representation. And the main reason was to keep this district from incurring additional unnecessary legal fees and costs, because that's what happens when you have double coverage on a case and you didn't need that. All lawyers, and not just here in Colorado, but all across the country, have an ethical obligation to prevent excessive fees from being charged to their clients. And it was in that nature that this decision was made, was to keep the legal fees down. That's what happened. So I don't know if there's any additional questions about that, but in fact, in my view, this isn't really district business to be discussed. It was the business of my law firm. It was a decision that I made, and the contract was with my firm. So I'm not exactly sure why it's on the district agenda. With time being spent, staff is being paid overtime, I'm being paid time. So this is something on the agenda that really isn't district business. But if anybody has questions, I'm happy to answer them.
I would like to make a point, Ms. Timmons. I remember when Scott first came on, and then there was, he'd sent a bill to the district. He sent a bill directly to the district. And I think that, Karen Morgan made a justifiable question. Is it, why is this $10,000 check here? Why are we paying this? And then I made the decision. I think I got that, and I said, well, if it has to do with he's being paid through Joe Timmons, then I need to give Joe the check. Is that right? Do you remember that? I think it was, I can't remember. I think it was June or something.
Recall, yeah. You know, actually my, under my agreement with him, he was supposed to send his bills to my firm.
And he didn't.
But that did not happen. And, you know, it just went off like that. So that is something that did not go according to the agreement that I had. That's correct.
So he sent the bill to the district. And, you know, I think Director Morgan had asked, well, is he being paid through the district? Shouldn't we be able to vote on this? And I said, well, if he's hired through Joe, then we don't have to go through the entire RFP process. We don't have to go through
it. He's no different than Suzanne, who is my paralegal. Andy, who, by the way, I could not have won this litigation without him. He was invaluable. He handled almost all of the discovery. It was a constant battle. He won a critical discovery hearing in front of the current judge. That literally put a sledgehammer on the plaintiff's discovery abuses when we won that hearing. I could not have done this case without him. He was invaluable to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So are there any further questions regarding the withdrawal? It sounds like Mr. Gessler was working for Joe Timmons. And since we weren't going to litigate, you know, we needed him as a litigator. Is that correct? Yes.
Right. As I explained, the whole purpose of that I hired him in the first place went away.
Mm-hmm.
Files were gone. And there was no need. And it was very important. It's just an ethical duty that we all have not to have double coverage on cases when you don't need it.
You know, double billing, things like that. Okay. Are there any further questions or comments or anything? Yes.
Well, yes. No. As a person having added this to the agenda, I'm not quite sure why I was not asked to speak first, but that is, in fact, my question is that I don't. I'm going to take a tip from Ms. Timmons and say that I identified five wrong things in your statement, so I'd like to address those. I am not quite sure how the claim do. What I'm hearing is that this doesn't have anything to do with us. We have no say. We are not the client. We have no responsibility. Are we not the client that Mr. Gessler was working for? Are we the client?
I'm not sure what your question is, Karen.
Are we the client?
Excuse me. If you're asking a question, I need to answer, okay?
That's my question.
Okay. He worked for me, okay? And the client was Green Mountain. That's correct.
The client was Green Mountain.
He had a contract with my law firm, and I've already said that.
Yes, I understand that you've said that. I understand that there's a lot of ambiguity in that contract. Are you talking about the first? Let me back up a minute, just like you did. And I need to thank Mr. Gessler for all of his work for us. And this should have been said long ago. But he needs to be stated publicly. Thank you. He led the settlement talks in the beginning, and his brainstorming, we got to see brainstorming with Ms. Timmons, Director Baker, and I did that led to that summary motion. So I know that he was a valuable member of this team, and we owe him some gratitude. So thank you very much. I would have liked to have said that publicly in his presence, as is polite, but he was asked to withdraw.
Excuse me, Karen. Did not put words in my mouth. You told John Henderson that I fired Scott, didn't you? Did you? Did you say that?
I'm sorry.
I want an answer to that question
by you.
I want to tell you that's a false statement. And you made a false statement to the public. Okay.
Really?
This is not just lack of transparency. This is a false statement that was made to the public. And I want to know, I want you to answer here tonight. Did you make that statement to John Henderson?
I am asking you what false statement I made.
That I fired Scott Gessler. Did you say that?
I am sure you did not fire him. You asked him to withdraw, which he states in his resignation letter. Since you asked me to withdraw, I have done so. So that is what his statement is on the record, and anybody can get that through Quora. So that is, this is on the record. I understand what you're saying now.
Okay, you know, let one person speak.
I wanted the answer to my question of whether or not that we are the client, because what I'm hearing is that we have absolutely no control over the attorneys working for us, whether they get hired or fired. And I know when we can be greeted with a lesson and whether or not firing is asked to withdraw, but that is what he stated on the record.
He said as requested, here is this. I mean, it didn't sound like there was nothing.
Yes, let me explain this, Adrian. I have a right to clarify this. I sent you an email with Scott attached. He was copied on it. And it said, he and I mutually decided and made this decision. And he did not dispute that, did he, Karen?
He did, as a matter of fact, not an email, but I did talk to him. He disputed it 100%.
Oh, okay. What did he say?
He said you asked him to withdraw. Okay. As per his letter.
Did he say that?
I did follow up on that.
Okay, well.
So all I can say is that is what he says, that I've talked to him about that. And that is 100% his stance. So it. Karen, does not matter. I'm sorry. I'm not through with my questions. I'm not getting cross-examined by you. I'm asking the questions. I would like to know, as the client, where my rights are as to whether or not we are doing this. Are we not? You say that you have a fiduciary responsibility on not doubling our fees, but that did not concern you when you hired him in the first place. So you say that you hired him directly to your firm. All I know is the co-counsel agreement. Can you just give me a yes or no? Is there anything besides that co-counsel agreement?
I do not understand your question.
That you
or I can't answer it. I'm sorry. I don't know. Okay. Going with this?
Well, I understand that. I'm just going to have to, if you can't say yes or no, that there was another, all I need is a yes or no. Is there another hiring for mechanism for Scott Gessler besides our co-counsel agreement?
I don't think there is. Okay. I
need to answer. Okay. I gave you all the information that I have. This is a typical way that a co-counsel agreement works. And the way he said it, you asked me to withdraw, that's also very typical. It just means that the co-counsel arrangement is no longer necessary. And he and I discussed it. I told him if trial were to flare back up again, I would call him in a minute. We left on very amicable terms. So I'm not sure where you're going with this. I just don't get it. And by the way, this is not district business.
It is absolutely, see, this is where I have to disagree with you and why I'm very glad that RFP is going through, because this is absolutely district business. And especially after leading the charge about John Henderson and who dared to talk to John Henderson, everything is district business regarding our attorneys. And where in the world this claim comes from that we have an attorney working for us. We paid his bills. He is working for us. He entered court appearances on our behalf. He came to board meetings when you couldn't make it. He is absolutely working for us. This is absolutely our business. And this is absolutely the problem in continuing our relationship, because you don't recognize that we're the client. This is as simple can be to me. We are the client.
That's all there is.
So to follow up on that, you say that you gave us all the information, that co-counsel agreement. The other one is your contract with us. I have a contract from you from June 2019, as far as I can tell, and that's what you provided. There is no other contract. Is there any amendments to this contract? Are there any other changes? Have there been by motion or vote anywhere? Because I can't find any.
So anyway, I'd like to ask a question. No, you've already asked it.
No, now, I did ask. I didn't get an answer. Are there any other changes to the contract with Ms. Timmons' law firm since June of 2019?
No, there is not.
No other things by motion, by vote. I just need to be clear that that's all there is. Because when I'm reading that, I don't see anything that says that you can hire Mr. Gessler at his present rate. You were authorized, and your contract says you gave rates that you could have other attorneys. And I don't see anything for even hiring him.
Okay.
Is that the contract that you're talking about that gave you the authority?
I have
just a minute.
Excuse me, Karen. I have several lawyers who work for me in my firm.
Yes.
He came in working for me in my firm, basically. That was a co-counsel agreement.
It was a co-counsel
agreement. My engagement letter said that if there were lawyers, they would be working at that rate. And that's what I did. I had Andy Astuno, I had my paralegal, and I had Scott Gessler. And I've already explained to you what my arrangement was. And I don't know where you're going with this, but I've given you all the information that I have. I can tell you this is not district business. This was an agreement that I had with Mr. Gessler.
Well, again, I have to just disagree with you because everything that has to do with this litigation is district business. And I don't know what the word is. So what you're saying is that all of the lawyers, Mr. Astuno, who is very valuable, thank you very much, and Mr. Gessler were under your June 19th contract rate.
Yes, that's right, Karen.
Because your contract rate that I have in front of me is one thing, and your bills for the last year have been another.
What?
My rate are you? 225 to 250 at some point after about a year, my rate went.
So where is the authority to hire Mr. Gessler at 250?
Okay.
I think that was agreed upon. I think it was agreed upon.
This is agreed upon it.
I don't know where you're going with this. Are you trying to claw back some fees that I've gotten paid?
I'm just looking for the authority. You say that this has nothing to do with us. Where's the authority to hire somebody else at 250? Your contract states for you 225 and for everybody else 175.
I'm Karen. I'm just not going to answer your questions anymore. I've given you all the information that I have.
Okay.
A co-counsel arrangement is very common. I could not have done this litigation by myself as it is. They had 10 to 12 lawyers, including paralegals, on the plaintiff's side. If you're trying to tell me that I spent too much, you know, I'm going to tell you that you're very ungrateful for what I did for this district. You are very ungrateful. What you're doing right now is pathetic. And you are trying to torment me and bully me and make me feel marginalized for all the work that I did. I deserve a lot better treatment than this. And I'm disgusted. You are being recalled.
I know. I hear you've been very helpful there. And this is, again, where we go into personal attacks. I am asking for your rates and where your authority is. And I understand you are very sensitive about your rates. We hear about them at every meeting. But I am looking for any legal authority. And what I have been seeing, like you said, it changed at one point to $250 an hour. And that was for about the time that Mr. Gessler came on board with a co-counsel agreement. So this kind of muddied the waters and I can't bring it up just like you under litigation because this is a little contentious. But I do not see any change that would allow you to even hire him at $250 an hour. I don't see any change that would allow you to be billing at $250 an hour. No, I can't claw back. We did pass and approve all of those bills. But what we can do is now say, let's uphold the contract that we have with you. That would be $225 an hour and the other rates for the other counselors. My estimate is that the difference in these rates is about $10,000 in the month of January alone that we paid you over what is contracted.
Okay.
So I don't want to claw it back.
You're trying to claw back money from
I just stated I am not clawing it back.
Give it a try, Karen.
I just
You know how much your phone calls? Do you know how much your phone?
No, I don't. And you're interrupting me again. I'm sorry. What are we doing here? What I would like is just to honor the contract that we have that should have been done all along. I am not quite sure how it gets to be a personal attack when we have it in black and white, and you yourself just admitted that no changes to this contract have been made. So for the last year, we've been going above and beyond this contract. I'd say that's grateful. I'd say that's very grateful. But now perhaps it's time to stop and just adhere to what the board voted on. And
the board is
this contract dated June 9, 2019.
Okay. The thing is that the board did not vote to hire Scott Gessler. Is that correct? Do you remember that, Joe? Anybody else? I don't think we did.
Adrian, at this point, there's no point in going over this again. I'm not going to answer any further questions. You do what you want to do, Karen. Make whatever lawsuit, motion, go for it. You go for it. I was the equivalent of 10 attorneys to you. Deborah Merrow said it. I was worth millions to you people.
That is wonderful. That does not give you the right to change contracts. No, you are defending and you're interrupting me.
Don't interrupt me. I saved you from 5 trials. Do you know how much each trial would have cost you? $150,000. We're talking $750,000. I saved you by being smart enough to know how to win on a summary judgment, something none of the other lawyers you had even any idea how to do that. For you to attack me like this is absolutely disrespectful.
I understand. So you feel entitled to be given the rates that you were charging us despite your contract, which I just find unfortunate. So from this forward, we're not clawing back. I understand, and I've said that 3 times, but I would like to make a motion that we adhere to the contract as it was passed. And this is just as it was passed. We've never changed it. We shouldn't have been approving all of these things without a board vote beforehand. So
I have something
my
to
motion
to bring
is, I'm sorry, I'm not done. My motion is to, I move to adhere to the 2019 contract with Ms. Timmons' law firm and all of the rates and clauses therein. Is there a second?
Can I make a suggestion? I think this would fall under, you know, presenting the contract to look at that. We don't have it in front of us. We just don't have the information right now, Karen.
I'm not suggesting any changes to the contract. That is exactly the issue. I am not suggesting any changes. Changes have been made throughout the last year that you never voted on.
When the district pays the bill, that's their agreement to the Karen, that's typical in the industry.
No, I'm afraid not. We do not have the authority to just give you whatever you want just because you billed us for it. That's not how this works. Okay. So that's how it has been happening, Director Baker. You have not realized that. Every time we pass these bills, and you saw how that happened last time. She made reference to it before, that we have problems with the bills and we question them. That's somehow stabbing in the back. But we question the bills and she says, no, you can't, because you're going to hold up everybody else. You can't do a line item veto. You can't do anything else. I am not suggesting any changes to the contract. If you would like to, what should have happened is that any change to the contract should have been made over the last year, anytime there was a change, and it hasn't been happening and you haven't known about that. So if we want to change them, what would be prudent was to bring up the changes at the next meeting and revert to what our contract states and just go from there. It's like reverting to the bylaws. You revert to what the last known written document was, and then go forward with any changes, which we can absolutely do if we want to suggest changes at the next meeting. But there is no authority. We shouldn't have been doing any of these changes along the way.
I'd like to ask something about the payments to Henderson's lawyers.
Where was the authority?
Okay. Where was the authority for that? Thank you. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. This is a different option. So you are distracting. Director Baker, did I answer your question on what this was? You don't, the contract you've already voted on, you did in 2019. So I'm just asking you to honor your vote from 2019 on that contract.
Well, I would second it to honor the contract. We have to stick with the contract language. If that's what the contract says, that's what we have to do.
That's exactly
right. I don't even know why we're having to do a motion on that, but, you know, I mean, that should go without saying.
That should. You're right. And Director Plotkin, you had a question.
Well, Director Baker seconded already, so I'll just stand by.
Okay.
Well, I lawsuit and you're lowering my rate. That's what you're doing. And that is why there's a recall on you people. That's for sure.
Because we're trying to uphold the contract.
Joe. We thank you, Joe, for those comments. You know, I've been a huge supporter of you, but anyway, I don't know why we're squabbling over a contract. Yeah. If there is an approved contract that the board has agreed to, it should be adhered to because that's the fiduciary law of the board.
I advised you that my rate was going up to $250 an hour and you all paid it. And that is the agreement. When you pay it after I've told you, that becomes the new agreement. Okay. That is typical in the legal industry, but it doesn't matter. There's no point in spending any more time on this tonight.
There's one thing I have to say. I apologize for interrupting you, Ms. Timmons. But this was not on the agenda. And so this cannot be voted on. Absolutely. This will not be voted on.
I agree.
Thank you. This will not be voted on. This will not be voted on. Did you hear
me? It's a motion that is out of order. It is
out of order.
Yes, it is. It will not be voted on. I will not allow it.
As the chair, you are not moving on. There's no precedent for that. There is a motion. It came out of Ms. Timmons' declaration that this contract, I'm looking for the authority to hire and release Scott Gessler at these rates. I can't find it. She answered my questions. All we are doing, all I'm asking for is upholding the contract. I cannot believe this should be a no-brainer that we are saying that we are going to go through and you will not vote. You will not allow a vote on something that she passed without notice. Where's the notice of this change? I challenge
this is enough
on the agenda.
Objection.
We cannot go outside of our contract without a board vote, which has been happening. So this is just to bring it in line with what is legal. That is our duty.
Now, the thing is that this is completely out of order. And
it's not out of order. Out of order is not allowing this.
No, the thing is that this is not going to happen. We will not be voting on this motion. And the thing is that I am the president of the board and I say that this motion will not be voted on because it is not in the agenda. It's that simple.
Adrian,
it won't happen. Listen, this is it. So we are not going to vote on this. And we discussed to death the withdrawal of Scott Gessler. We really need to move on. It is 8:30. Do we want to keep going on until midnight arguing like this?
Madam President, please let Director Baker speak.
Go ahead.
I just want to ask, what is wrong with people honoring your contract? That's what I think I'm hearing here, Adrian. I'm just asking you. I don't want to get heated about this, but at the face value, if there's been a contract, and I know you know, we're talking about always the fiduciary responsibility and all the stuff that we need to be in line with. My only question, I guess I'm trying to ask you personally, if we have a contract that we approved as a board, should it not be then honored? If it needs to be modified, then we have to modify the contract. True or false?
I have another something to tell you that is parallel to that. You remember Kristen Buck, right? And yes. We were paying her, what was it, $100 an hour, right? And then it went up to $150 an hour. And we paid that.
But we there had was, to
That was not, there was no, there was not really, I don't remember if there was a change, and that would sort of be the precedent is that the precedent was that we just paid it. She gave us the bill and we paid it.
Yeah, we did have
that's what I remember.
This is my contract. Can I explain to you how it works, Jeff?
Yes, please. Can we please be civil? I'm just trying to ask a reasonable question, okay?
Many times attorneys serve the same clients for years and years and decades. If you go back and look at the original engagement agreement for the Eisenhower law firm, the rates were way lower than what you were paying at the end. It's very common with a legal relationship that rates go up over time. And I explained that to the board, that my rate went up. And when the board pays it, that becomes the new agreement. You don't need a whole new written engagement agreement for that to happen. So my rate is currently $250 an hour. And that is an agreement that we have, that I have with this district. Now, if you're going to vote to lower my rate, you know, let me know if that's what you're doing tonight.
Joe, I wasn't trying to do that. I'm hearing the words that we had a contract, right? And I'm just, that's all. I think it's a fair question. I don't think everyone needs to get triggered over every single question that comes up. I think it's a reasonable question that can be reasonably explained or something. That's all.
Well, I just explained it to you, Jeff, how it works. You didn't have a new engagement agreement every year with the Eisenhower firm when the rate went up every single January. My rate after 2.5 years has only gone up once, $25. I continue to charge you half of what you would pay anybody else. The very fact that you squabble about my rate is insulting to me. It's disgusting. I have been absolutely generous with you people.
I'm not trying to be contentious with you, okay? I'm asking you, and you understand, I'm hearing this as a layman, right? That if you have a contract and there's certain things that are stated, I think it's reasonable to ask the question. Do you agree? I mean, I'm not you. I'm not a lawyer. Don't claim to be. I'm just asking a reasonable question, and there's like everything is a fiery response.
Well, I think your question, Jeff, is reasonable, but I think the discussion preceding your question was not reasonable. Okay. You can ask me what's the agreement we had, and I can explain it to you. That took about 30 seconds. But we have been now for an hour on a diatribe about how I didn't have this or that, or I'm overcharging and everything else. I think it's inappropriate. It wasn't on the agenda and it shouldn't be discussed.
Okay, I would like to move on to item number C, discussion of district election official in the event of recall elections. I have a statement to make. I was appointed as the designated election official by the court. And that is the end of my statement. That's all I have to say.
If I may make a motion.
For what?
I make a motion to appoint Sue Blair as the official designated election official for this recall.
Okay, so let me respond to that. I sent you all yesterday or whenever it was, all the orders that we received from the court. This is a court order, Alex. It's not a motion. This is a court order. We cannot change a court order, okay? You are in contempt of court if you don't obey a court order. You can't by motion change court orders, okay? So I just want you to understand.
If you let me finish, Ms. Timmons.
I'm sorry?
If you allow me to continue, please.
Oh, go ahead.
I would request the district counsel to file with the court that Sue Blair be designated the election official.
Alex, I'm so sorry to interrupt. Could you tell me who you're talking about as the DEO, please?
It would be Sue Blair. She is the person who was in charge of who was the election official during the 2018 election. I can't recall if she was the official during the 2020 election.
Thank you.
Annalie, we can get you that information to Greg or Sam or myself, you know, at a later point and try and dig up some of that stuff from the previous election.
Okay. So that is what happened. So anyway, so item number six, can we move on?
So I made a motion.
We have a motion on the floor, and I don't think we can just keep walking away from it.
Okay, so I just explained. There's no way you can change a court order with a motion. You just can't do that. Okay.
You can't move to, or you know, file a motion to modify the court's order.
Can't do that. Now she could consider, Adrian can consider using the services of somebody like that company, Sue Blair's company. She could consider using that. She has been ordered. So now as part of her function, she could consider using that company. And that's a possibility.
Well, I'm curious, was there a pleading to specifically designate Director Hannigan as an election official in the recall that she obviously has a potential conflict of interest in?
Okay, no, there was no pleading. The court just made that order, and I do not see a conflict, but I'm not sure.
I'm curious on what basis the court had made that decision.
I don't know. The court doesn't often say what it is. It's possible that frequently in these types of matters with local government, the court might choose somebody who's already under oath and serving in public office. And that would be somebody like one of the other directors. That's my only guess. I don't know for sure.
So basically I have no right as somebody who, you know, the recall has been run against to request with a court to file a motion with a court to appoint a different election official.
Well,
it's now, a yes or no question, please.
Alex, I can't answer that question for you. You might have to get your own lawyer, okay?
Well, you've said that to me numerous times,
Alex,
before.
But not if you're going to cut me off. I can't do that, okay? I was trying to help you, Alex.
So I do see a conflict of interest with Adrian being the DEO on this. I mean, you know, obviously in these meetings, you know, stuff she has emails outside of this. Obviously, she is in wanting to enforce or wants the recall of the three of us. I think at a very basic level, I think that's a conflict of interest, and I think it's an ethical problem. Sue Blair, for at least since I've been on here, has been the go-to DEO, and then it's ironic that out of the blue, now we have. Adrian is now the DEO. It just seems like it's a conflict of interest. It doesn't seem ethical based on her opinion of what's going on. So I don't know. That's pretty basic.
Well, I'll tell you, Jeff, I did send you guys all of the statutes so you could read them and have a full understanding. I do not see the idea of a conflict. I'll tell you, there's judges every day that see the same lawyers over and over, and a judge might absolutely despise a certain lawyer. He doesn't like the way he dresses. He doesn't like the way he talks. He can't stand the guy. That's not a conflict of interest, okay? Conflicts are a specific legal thing, and it has to do with owing duties, specific legal duties in two different places. So the idea of the conflict, I'm not sure how far that's gonna go, but I will tell you that it is very possible. It's very, Adrian could use the services of an outside company. So that's a possibility. I mean, I think there would be nothing wrong with that, that she could engage the services, even though she's been appointed, she can engage the services of this Sue Blair, her company, to handle this. I will tell you that the designated election official has very limited authorities. There's no discretion, none. It's very specific things they have to do. And so the idea that somebody could fudge or change, that's not possible, but it all can be reviewed by the court. You're welcome to go make these arguments to the court. You can do that.
Yeah, at a basic level, if Sue Blair has been the typical, you know, DEO that we've had, doesn't the optics of what having Adrian work as the DEO now, doesn't that look funny to you?
Well, It doesn't to me, because the court probably didn't know about Sue Blair. The court was under a very short deadline to appoint a DEO. And she, I don't know how the judge made the determination. I've actually not been involved with these, but I would believe, I would see that she could choose a serving elected official who's already under oath. You guys all filed an oath of office. You have an oath to uphold the law. So by choosing somebody like that, the court has some sort of guarantee that this person's under oath and they're going to do what they're required to uphold the law, being their, you know, Title 32. So the point is, though, I'm not trying to beat around the bush. You can, Adrian could use this Sue Blair. There would be nothing outside of the court order that would prevent her from doing that. So maybe that's what Adrian should look at doing.
I think Director Peters has her hand raised.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Director yeah. Peters?
Thank you. So I actually have questions for a couple folks. So Joe, you had mentioned that the DEO has a limited range of functions. And I just want to be really clear what those functions are, because I read through the Title 32 literature that you had sent. And I just want to make sure that I'm clear, and it'll be helpful, hopefully, for everybody else as well. And so what I understood reading it is that it has to do, the DEO's function has to do with certifying the signatures and verifying the signatures that have been turned in for the recall. And then if there's any protests, those go through the DEO. The other thing that I read related to vacancies. So if there are no candidates that submit to be on the ballot, then folks can submit, they can submit their application or their intent, and the DEO receives that. And maybe you can explain that a little bit better. The one thing that I didn't see in this, and I think this is a question, is in terms of the actual votes and the vote counting when they come in, does the DEO oversee that, and do they have a role in that? So I think that's my first round of questions.
Right. So I think, Rhonda, what it is that in the beginning, when there is a petition that gets filed and that gets filed in court, then there are some really short deadlines that get triggered in the beginning. And I think one of them is that the judge has, I believe, 5 days to turn around and appoint a DEO. And then I believe, okay, then there's a signature time period for getting signatures. But when the signatures are submitted, are filed, the petitions with signatures are filed, there's a very short turnaround time for the DEO to certify the signatures. Then there are some other timelines, but then there is this kind of 75 to 90 day waiting period where there's an election that gets set and a ballot that gets made. So I think in the very beginning, it's hard to go out and go get somebody else because you're operating under some short timelines. I believe at this point, Adrian could have time or be in a position to go and ask Sue Blair to handle the later parts, which are more cumbersome. Like you said, Rhonda, counting ballots. I'm not sure about how that vacancy works. I'd have to read that, but you're right. So I believe Adrian could go and have Sue Blair to do these things for her. And if that's, you know, that might make sense because it is a cumbersome job.
Okay.
I have a question.
Sure. Go ahead, please.
I made a motion. Do I have a second?
I will second that.
Thank you.
And what was the motion again?
Motion to designate Sue Blair as the DEO.
Okay. I'm just for the record, I'm going to point out there's no authority for this district to do that. This is
I understand that. Thank
there's
you.
There's no authority. This is illegitimate. I suggest that you withdraw the motion.
But
and if noted. You do not, you may be in contempt of court. So if you choose to be in contempt of court, then that is, you
then
can't
I will modify
reverse,
my
you
motion.
You know, just a minute. You cannot reverse a court decision. You know, you cannot reverse what a judge has decided.
I understand that. Thank you, Madam President. I would like to amend my motion to have the council file with the court by tomorrow that the district would like a new DEO.
I cannot do that, Alex. And I can't take that type of direction from you on legal things. I can't do that. A court made an order. I cannot defy the order. I'm an officer of the court, okay? I can't defy a court order. This was a court order. Adrian is in a position where she could hire this Sue Blair to help her do this job. That's what you can do. That's what I'm recommending, that you do it that way.
I understand. Let the record show that both counsel and Director Hannigan are essentially objecting to the directors who have made numerous statements about conflict of interest and other potential conflicts of interest.
So are you prepared to withdraw your motion?
Not at this time.
So, yes, Rhonda, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I was still going through a number of questions. So the so it's correct that the DEO has 5 days to certify the signatures, and that has or has not occurred yet.
I got a call, or I found out that today the petition with signatures was delivered to the district office. It was delivered to Doug, and he has it. It's now, I advise them on how to keep it, how to make copies of it, because there's legal requirements on how to make copies of something with signatures on it. So that's been filed. So now there's 5 days that are going, starting from today to get.
Sorry. So is Adrian now, she has 5 days to check all those signatures and to certify that they are in the district and they are accurate. And is it okay? That I see you nodding your head.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So there's 5 days that's been triggered now to verify that the signatures are people who are registered to vote and live in the district. Those are the two requirements.
Okay. All right. And then it says, yeah, and I see it says the designated election official shall issue a written determination that a recall petition is sufficient or not sufficient by the close of the 5th business day after it's filed, which it sounds like it was done today, unless a protest has been filed pursuant and, okay. And then they have to deem that it's sufficient or timely filed. And then how about the votes? When it's voted, is the DEO is the person who counts the votes in the recall election? Who counts the votes?
Yeah, I believe it is the DEO. And that makes sense to get this company that Sue Blair works for to do that part of it. I think right now in the beginning, when the petition got filed, it immediately triggered 2 5-day turnarounds that are pretty quick and they're almost up. So it might make sense to going forward to try to get this Sue Blair involved. I would recommend that. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that.
And in the past, did the court designate Sue Blair or did the court, no. I thought the court designated, is somebody's going to answer? Did I hear Jesse or somebody? I don't know. Somebody talking.
You mean in the last recall with Tom Stocker?
Yeah.
Somebody in the district who was appointed as the DEO. It may have been the manager.
That's what I heard. Was it? It was.
I think it was. It was Kenny Cronenberger. It was Kenny Cronenberger, I think.
So he was a board member. Yeah.
He was. No, Mr. Stocker had a choice in his DEO, and he chose the district manager. From what I remember.
I don't remember that.
What I recall.
Either way,
So there is a problem with that. I see again, this to me is a conflict of interest issue. First of all, the first time I found out about the recall is essentially I got a letter, and then there was no, absolutely no opportunity for the board to basically vote or decide on anything. That to me is problematic.
Vote on what? I'm sorry.
On who the DEO would be or any other matters related to the recall.
Saying that. Alex, that's a court order decision.
I understand that, but to me, it seems I'm not defying the court's order. I'm saying, why can I not file something with a court asking for a different DEO?
Well, you would need to get your own lawyer on that, Alex. I can't advise you on that.
Is there anything in the statutes that state anything about the DEO? Like it says the court will appoint the DEO.
Yeah. It says the court shall order a DEO. And that's what happened. I mean, like within 5 days. And now because these signatures were gathered so quickly in probably another 5 days, now there's 5 more days. And of course, you can always review the signatures yourself. Or the names of people and see if they're registered voters. You can double check the work. That's what I'm saying. There's no discretion involved.
So how would a director, like if the director's under recall, they want to check the work, how would that work for them?
Well, the copies of the petition with signatures are available at the district offices. Okay. So anybody can go over there and get a copy, and then you can get a voter list from the county clerk and recorder, and you can go do the checking yourself. So it, like I said, there's no discretion there. It's very mechanical.
And there is.
Joe, can I just chime in really quick? I just want to be super clear. You did say, because I heard a couple different things here. Those signatures are not allowed to go out, just the name, correct?
Right. Yes, so that's right. Because of the way the law is, a petition will have a name of a person, their address, and their signature. The signatures can't be copied and sent out. That's just a privacy thing. But what is available is the name and address. So using the name and address, it can be checked, cross-checked, verified, you know.
Okay. And then same with the voting. Do we know the process when the votes are counted? Do they, because you can't check names or you can, maybe I should reach out to Sue Blair for experience with this and let's just say that I know you suggested that Adrian could have Sue Blair do it. And I'm interested to hear from Adrian if she's open to that. But if that were to occur, Adrian would have Sue Blair do that. She would count the votes, but then she would give them to Adrian, and then Adrian provides that to the courts.
As far as the election goes, I actually, Rhonda, I hadn't gotten that far and analyzed that section. I had analyzed the early part to be prepared tonight to answer some questions about it. But I think that however Sue Blair does it, there's all these procedures to, you know, safeguard, like she keeps records of things. There's paper ballots. I know there's either a polling place type of election or a mail-in ballot. That's a choice. Okay. Can be made. One is cheaper than the other one. And
yes. And so she keeps that in her office for a number of years and people can pull that. So even if Adrian is the DEO, if she has Sue Blair do this, then Sue as an independent entity will keep records of everything.
Right, exactly.
It can only be audited. Adrian, are you willing to pass that function to Sue Blair as Joe has recommended?
I think it would be difficult for me to cross-check and verify 3,000 signatures or however many thousand signatures. I don't know. The thing is that I am just new to this. And so I don't want to be responsible for cross-checking 3,000 signatures. That's where I stand right now. Those are my thoughts.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to answer right now. That's it.
Yeah. Thank you. And you are checking the, what is it? 300 signatures.
Yes. Yes.
And you are checking that and you feel comfortable in that role.
Yes.
And you feel that your oath of office, you'll do a diligent job with that.
Well, I have to, you have to, the thing is that, I grew up, my dad was a lawyer. My brother's a lawyer. The judge tells you to do something, you do it. That's just the beginning and end of it. And you follow their instructions to the letter. That's it.
Okay. So
it doesn't matter how I feel about anything.
Thank you. Thank you, Adrian. That's helpful. So Joe, if, is it within the board's ability to make a motion that Adrian pass it to?
No.
No, it's really not. Right, Rhonda, because it's the court order that Adrian has to comply with at all times. Now, she can delegate, she can hire somebody. That happens all the time. If you're like I don't want to bring it back up again, but I can hire lawyers. She can hire somebody to help her do her job, and she's allowed to do that. But she's ultimately responsible. See, she is the one whose name is on the line if something goes wrong, just like I am on the litigation. It's my firm, my name was on the line.
And anybody has the ability to look at the signatures or the vote, or what is the process here to review? If somebody questions, what's the process?
Yeah, so right now is this process going on of validating these signatures, which are, I think I don't remember how many there are, but I know there has to be at least 300. So that's going on right now. Now, when Adrian says 3,000 signatures, I think what she means is the ballots for the
vote. Yes, that's right. I'm referring to the ballots.
I'm just wondering, protests. So let's just say somebody feels concerned and they want to double check Adrian's work. How do they go about doing that?
Well, the first thing is to go get a copy of the materials that are over at the district office, which I think Jesse and Doug have them. And that is right there. Somebody can do their own checking to verify the signatures.
Anybody in the district can?
Anybody. Yes.
Anybody. Okay. And then how about with the votes, when the votes are cast? Can anybody? So
when the votes are cast, that's why I'm recommending like maybe using Sue Blair for that part of it, because you do rely on a, election official to run the election, which would mean to prepare the ballots to somehow, either if it's a polling place or a mail, you figure out how to do it. And then when they all get back in, you have to count them. Now, also, like you said, they have to keep all the ballots, and that's something that they just do, I guess, for auditing purposes. So there's a way, I don't really know actually how that works, if there's a machine or how they do it.
So the ballots are kept at the district, and then there's a period of time that people can review them and protest if they have concerns?
I'm sure that's true with any election.
Can I just chime in for one second here, just a tiny bit of memory from the last election?
Okay.
We did have a lockbox, but from what I recall, and Sue was the person who was doing it, but I believe that box was locked and no ballots could be counted or looked at until the day of the election. I think that was the thing. So just as a technicality piece there, from what I recall, people would come in, drop off a ballot we had a metal box that was, I think, provided by them. It's padlocked. And then that was supposed to be sealed, that's sealed until the day of the election and then the counting started. That's just my recollection from the previous handful.
Thanks. And the mail-in ballots, those went to Sue Blair, right? When you mailed them?
I'm pretty sure that's how it went, but I only had kind of cursory, flying around the edges of making sure some emails went places, but I didn't handle any of that. That was, the last election was handled by Kristen Buck.
Yes.
Communicating with Sue Blair, I mean, so for when in last year's election, Kristen Buck was in communication with Sue Blair for all of that. So
Jesse.
Yeah. So
sorry, Jesse. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So who was the DEO in the last election?
I'm pretty sure it was Sue Blair, but I couldn't answer with any confidence.
It was it was.
I do. I remember that because that was my election. So
again, I don't understand why we cannot file to modify the to be Sue Blair.
I'm just saying there's a court order in place. I'm if you want Sue Blair, I suggest that you, you know, I've suggested to Adrian that that is a possibility that. And so we can look into that. I can call Sue Blair and find out how that works. I mean, but Adrian, it has to be Adrian's choice. She's ultimately responsible. Anything goes wrong, Adrian's the one on the line with the court. She'll be in contempt of court. If
individually or through the district? The district would get sued.
I'm sorry?
Is she in? Is she on the line individually as a person or would the district get sued?
Individually, she's on the line. She has been appointed individually as an official, an election official by the court. She would be.
She would be personally sued and liable and the district would not help her if she did something wrong.
On her own for that. So it's a huge responsibility.
Okay.
Everything else. That's right.
That's helpful. Thank you.
I still think that, you know, the board should consider submitting with a court to modify the DEO because to me, this is a conflict of interest. And I know people will say their piece, but I have a huge issue with that. My understanding was that it cannot be one of the officials who's been recalled. I mean, nobody is trying to say, do not proceed with a recall. I just want it to be impartial and conducted by a professional who's done this before.
So Alex, the district is not involved in this. The district is not.
I'm confused how the district is not involved with this when the district is potentially going to pay out $80,000 for the election or so.
That's right. The district pays for it. But as far as you personally, only the directors are being recalled personally. See, Adrian was appointed personally. So if somebody wants to challenge anything, they do it personally. The district does not challenge anything. That's not the district's position to do that. The district is not an eligible elector. Only an eligible elector can challenge something in an election. So these are all individual actors happening now.
Did you hear that, Jeff?
Copy that.
Karen, did you hear that?
Can you repeat it? What you wanted to make sure that everybody heard? I just want to make sure that I understood it too.
Oh, are you talking to me, Rhonda?
Well, Alex, you asked if
everybody... No, that last point where essentially individual board members do not have legal representation in this matter.
Individual board members do not have legal representation, whether they're being recalled or whether they are the DEO. Okay.
That's right. Adrian doesn't, everybody is acting individually now, not the district is a separate entity. The district is not, cannot file any objection. It's not an eligible elector. Only an eligible elector under the statute can do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So does that wrap things up for people? Or are there any further comments? No? No one? Okay. So then on item number 6, under other matters, we have we want to have on the next meeting and within 2 weeks, the discussion of the Ravine Bridge in the next meeting. Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like to put on the subsequent agenda?
You know, there is something I don't know. I don't want to take up additional time because I know our meetings are very long. But just as an informational point, we get everybody knows that we are a distributor of Denver Water. And we get that's where our water comes from.
And a lot of people ask, well, what's going to happen if there's a drought, or how can, and so keeping an eye on what's going on with Denver water, there is a, there's a project underway right now to enlarge the Gross Dam Reservoir and dramatically increase its holding capability. And that's from the runoff that comes from the mountains. And this is a, this is something that folks, you know, ask about a lot in the meetings, and it would be useful to have an informational session about this, maybe somebody involved in the project. It's been underway since 2015, but it's now been given the go-ahead just in the last month or two in March, and it's moving forward. So I think, you know, I want to keep us focused on district business and water, and I think this is something that is maybe not as controversial, or maybe it is, I don't know, but not, you know, there's a lot of other things going on the periphery, but I'd like to keep us focused on district business and keep the residents informed so that we can have an understanding of our water supply and some background on that.
Okay, I really appreciate that. There was a recent National Geographic article on a mega drought that was going to be adversely affecting Colorado, not Colorado, but maybe us too. It was starting in California and moving east. And it is very, very serious. And it's something that we'll have to address. You know, all of us will have to deal with it, you know, less lawns, less waste, that sort of thing. And, you know, that is, I really appreciate that comment and that input. Thank you very, very much. What I would like to do is item number 7, if there are no objections. Yes?
I think Alex had a hand up.
Yes, go ahead, Alex. Did you want to say something? I didn't see you.
I was going to move to adjourn the meeting.
Can I ask one question? Make sure I understand my directives correctly. I have a directive to post an RFP for the district seeking legal services for non-litigation purposes to let it run from 10 days from tomorrow. Is that what I understood?
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
Hope you feel better, Greg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks for being on the meeting, Greg.
Even though you didn't feel well. Thank you.
Okay. So I just wanted to chime in too real quick before if adjournment is a potential next item.
I hope so.
We checked on our end here, and I know it feels like maybe centuries ago that we discussed this, but the agenda and the board packet were posted on 4:47 at 4:47 p.m. yesterday. That's the timestamp. So just clarifying for the sake of the IT department.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so I was going to announce that we were, I would like to move to adjourn, and Mr. Plotkin made the motion to adjourn. Do we have a second?
I think Director Morgan had something to add too.
Oh, I thought we were going to adjourn. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I had other business too. I wanted to address a couple things that I heard. Just some of this stood out to me in public comment this time was that I heard a couple reasons why that IGA was a bad idea, because we're at that point where people are calling in and we have public comment, but people outside that are receiving our service, are part of our community, do not have a voice to vote on anything. And that is a big deal. You have, we just had the whole election conversation about having a voice, but we cut them out of things by not enabling that with with an IGA. I'm glad the IGA is over for that reason, and I hope that we can figure out a way to give people a voice in our elections before we proceed with any more talk on an IGA, because all of those, it's not a development issue. It's just a voice of the people issue, and I really want to let people have that opportunity. And there's a lot of issues, other issues in public comment, but I can just say real quickly, you can check our budget is online, so go look at that. I would like to say have a put on the agenda for next meeting to have a vote, a discussion and a vote about how to proceed with these meetings. We had a lot of discussion last time about the difficulties in the hybrid situation. We still are under the public health watch for having to have vaccines necessary to remove the mask. So we'd have some kind of mandate to check all that. And plus, like I said, all the technical issues. So I would like to have that up for a vote so that we have all that cleared up before we move ahead. Maybe just back to purely in-person would be the best thing. Maybe a hybrid if we can figure it out, but that should be on the next agenda.
Because I think Jeffco moved to level clear, and I think that's correct, Mr. Kropkowski. Is that right? Yeah, this is.
It was level clear, and the Jeffco's guidance is to recommend mask use for indoor meetings unless people prove vaccination. I don't want to put anybody on staff and being a vax card policeman. So that's why we did this tonight. I mean, maybe things will change in 2 weeks where Jeffco won't even have that. You got two?
I got my jab. I was so happy. You know,
I got two yesterday, and that's why I feel like poop.
But
that's what, according to Alexis Bonilla, she says it's still the recommendation that people wear masks if they're not going to prove vaccination. And I just don't want to do that. I don't want Sam or Jesse to do it. We all know organizations are just saying, come on in. Alexis also said an organization as a board can always vote to be more restrictive. So they can vote to go totally no masks, and Mr. Kropkowski, don't check. Mr. Davenport, don't check. You know, I think with Danilee with doing minutes, she's up in Fort Collins, so she'd probably appreciate a way to join in. But I think I talked to her, and she said that they're willing to come down. So
just to clarify, it would be very hard for us to take minutes in a virtual and in-person hybrid type of a meeting, because it would be really hard to see who's speaking. Because here we do have it easily segregated into who's commenting on what. So it would probably be necessary for us to always have a staff member in person, whether it was a in-person meeting or a hybrid meeting.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to have the conversation now. I just think we should have the conversation and have a vote on it so that we, again, same as last time, that we have it all covered. I just didn't want...
I'm just saying we have to, as I make a proposal for June 8th or June 9th, whatever it is, that decision would probably have to be made between now and then. So that's all. I don't know how that'll occur. I'm at a loss.
I'd like to move to adjourn. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'd like to go to bed. So, there was a motion made to adjourn. Do I have a second?
No, sorry. Can we clarify? So we will have this on for, can we have this on for a vote and a discussion at the next June meeting? Do I need to make a motion to see if there's a raise of hands? Does anybody object? How about that? Does anybody object to having this discussion at the next meeting rather than trying to figure it out before that? Okay. Thank you. We'll just have that discussion on the agenda then.
Okay. So item number 7, we made a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second? Okay. Rhonda Peters seconded my motion. Can we have a vote? All in favor, say aye.
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 So we have a unanimous decision of all the board members, Rhonda, me, Jeff, Alex, and Karen to adjourn this meeting. Thank you very much. And I look forward to seeing you on June the 8th. So goodbye.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night, everybody. See ya.